Tommy Timon
is a proud member
of the pod.
Stop screwing it up.
Of the Comics Podcast Network.
Bitch.
Bitch?
Bitch.
Welcome to episode 92, part 1 of Comic Timing, the comics podcast devoted to the average comic book fan from the average comic book fan. Join in as a rotating panel of guests, myself, Ian Levesque, discuss whatever comes to mind, time after time, here on Comic Timing. Wizard World Philly, Anime Next, Anime Boston, CNI 200. Bunch of events happen over the past couple of weeks, and we discuss all of them on this episode. And to come on part 2, EurosCon and the Superman Celebration. Listen in. Here now, Comic Timing.
You don't want fish sticks? No?
No.
No?
What are we going to wait? No.
Do
I had spaghetti yesterday.
Do you like fish sticks?
No.
No? No? No?
Right, so I think this whole Jeff Hardy Edge thing is going to go on all the way to SummerSlam. What do you think?
Okay, that's what I call overdoing an arc.
Yeah.
They always do that.
You know. I heard that they're going to continue to do the same thing that they did back in 1993, only with different people.
No, 1992.
Ah, yes. I'm sorry.
We're waiting for the Black Supremacist group to fight against Undertaker in his motorcycle gang.
Ooh, let me guess, the Domination Nation. That's what
Nation
they're going to call them.
Domination.
No, I know that. That's what they're going to call them this time. Because
no, but they'll rehash the same names.
Oh, yeah? All right.
So they got that merchandise
like
back then.
D-Generation X, yeah, yes. That came back. Yeah. Yeah, good times.
And Farouk would just walk out and go, damn!
And walk back.
And next on the sporting goods.
No.
No, we seriously still have to record.
Yes, I know we do seriously need to still record.
I have to do it over Skype because,
Well, yeah, either that or like after I'm done with work on a Thursday.
Yeah.
You know, because I get out at like 6.
Okay, that's fine.
So, you know. In fact, considering that I work near Wharf Street, you can always just meet me at my work and then we could go from there. No. No.
Four,
I didn't even know where that comes from because I didn't even say that I work anywhere like that because that's just wrong.
Well, no, I don't work that day, so I'll just take the train, straight down.
Okay, all right.
The train's working.
Yeah. I just realized, too, that this is only on front, so hold on.
I know it's during the commercial break because it's down, Trebek.
That's not what your mother said last night, Trebek.
What happened? You had a rough day last night, Trebek.
I'll take the penis mic here for 500 acts.
Then I remember that there's children on this car, so I'm just going to have to stop now.
All I'm going to say is if you're on the shore, then you're sure not me.
I'm on a boat.
Sailing on a boat.
Yeah. So, Raph, how's life?
5 knots, wind whipping through my coat. You can't stop me.
Because you're on a boat?
Yeah. I am on a boat.
Ah, that's sort of what I figured, yeah.
Yeah, no, literally. I mean, this is a great metaphor. I am on a boat, I'm sailing, and things are good.
It's terrific, yeah.
Apparently to Raph, it was all a dream.
Uh-huh.
He used to read Word Up magazine, Salt and Pepper on the cover. I saw as much of that song as
I don't know any of it, so that's fine.
So that's four more lyrics hardcore than you are.
By the way, very happy that you've been drinking water because now I can understand you.
Well, I've been drinking nonstop for like the past 2 weeks.
Oh, terrific.
Yes.
To celebrate anything or just because you're drunk?
Celebrate my birthday, my cousin's wedding.
Congratulations, by the way. Happy birthday.
And then 200 and then white girl last night.
Yeah. Oh.
This isn't getting on air, right?
Oh no. Why would I do a thing like that? You know, I mean, there couldn't possibly be a reason why I pressed the record button. I mean,
Comic Timing After Dark will be back after these messages.
And this episode of Comic Timing, as usual, is sponsored by Heroes Corner over at heroescorner.com.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Heroes Corner. Happy birthday to you.
Yes, that was fantastic, wasn't it? It is the second birthday of Heroes Corner. Yeah, they've been around this long. How about that? And to celebrate, every single comic book on the Heroes Corner site that is available this month is going to get an additional 2% off of the usual percentage that you get off. So anything that's usually 35% off is going to be 37% off. Everything that's 50% off is usually, it's now 52% off. 75% off is 77% off. They're doing a very generous celebration this month, and I say you celebrate Heroes Corner's generosity by spending a little bit more this month. You know, why not? Because that 2% does add up. And maybe there's a couple of books that you wouldn't normally pick up that you might have the opportunity to pick up this month because of a little bit more of that savings. And of course, Heroes Corner is one of the cheapest places to get your comic books on the internet. So go ahead and use them. Why not? They've been around 2 years now, and that's staying power. You know, once you've been around more than a year, it's proving that you're probably going to be around a lot longer than that second year. And things are looking pretty good for Heroes Corner, and they've been doing wonderful by us for a long time now. And I thank Bob and Sam of Heroes Corner for continuing to sponsor Comic Timing, and we're going to be around for the long haul, and I certainly hope that they are as well. The Comic Timing picks for the month of July are as follows. We start off with Marvel. We start off with Spider-Man, the Clone Saga, numero uno. Yeah, the Clone Saga is back. Deal with it. Not only is it going to be showing up in the Amazing Spider-Man book itself with an arc of who is Ben Reilly, and that's coming up a little later on, but we have ourselves Spider-Man, the Clone Saga, number one, written by Howard Mackey and Tom DeFalco, with pencils by the fantastic Todd Knock, covered by Pascal Ferry. And this one is 52% off on Heroes Corner for $1.92, regular price of $3.99. We return to the Clone Saga, and this is supposedly the way the Clone Saga was supposed to happen in the first place. Now, you know, whether it actually turned out to be that, we don't know, but it's going to be six issues, and without any of the BS that happened back in the 90s of, you know, extending it so long that the story itself sort of got lost. Well, hey, this is just a nice, simple six-issue miniseries and exploring the life of Ben Reilly and perhaps the one and only true Spider-Man. Should be a lot of fun for anybody who is a fan of the Clone Saga back in the 90s or even the character of Ben Reilly, even if you were not that big a fan of the Clone Saga itself. Over in DC, we got Batman and Robin, number four. And this is the beginning of the next arc of Grant Morrison's run here with art by Philip Tan, who you might know from the Green Lantern books and a bunch of other places. This has got a usual Frank Quitely cover, but Frank Quitely will not be involved in this particular arc. This one is the return of the Red Hood, who, as we talked about on this episode, or at least are about to talk on this episode, might be somebody that we're familiar with if Dan DiDio did indeed slip up at Philly. We'll see. But he's got himself a new partner, his own Robin-type character, and they're going around doing their dark justice and dealing with Batman and Robin. This is 52% off on Heroes Corner, $1.44, regular price of $2.99, yet again written by Morrison with art by Philip Tan and Jonathan Glapion, cover by Frank Quitely. And one more here for you. We got ourselves the independent pick, and this one is out of Dark Horse, and it is going to be Beasts of Burden, number one. Now, anybody who's been listening to Comic Timing for a while now knows that once upon a time, I had myself an interview with Mr. Evan Dorkin, and that one, interesting, to say the least. I mean, he sort of put me in my place, and I still thank him for that to this day. You know, I mean, he sort of proved to me that I am not a know-it-all, and, you know, it shows. But Evan Dorkin has himself a new comic book this month, Beasts of Burden, number one, written by, obviously, Evan Dorkin, with paintings, or pictures, by Jill Thompson, because it's got a P there, so I assume that stands for pictures, meaning that she does the inks, the colors, the artwork itself, the works. And it's all about a bunch of dogs, and cats and dogs, that is, a heroic gang of cats and dogs to keep residents safe from harm. And a bizarre disturbance leads these four-legged neighbors on a wild goose chase into the depths of a nearby forest where loyalties are tested and lives come to an abrupt end. And this looks like it should be a lot of fun. Maybe along the lines of a Wii 3 or something like that. Well, I guess we'll have to wait and see. But I saw dogs and cats, and I'm like, you know, this could be interesting. And plus, Evan Dorkin, we've yet to really talk about any of his true work on the show, other than, you know, what we already discussed with the milk and cheese and his episodes of Superman, the animated series and stuff like that. So let's get fully into Evan Dorkin here and actually do one of his works. And this one is $2.99, and this one is 77% off for 69 cents. Hell yeah. Oh, baby. 69. Woo. And, you know, it'll be a lot of fun, hopefully. So there are the picks. And as usual, the comic timing code of the month, for anybody who's using Heroes Corner for the first time, and this is, yet again, the month to use Heroes Corner for the first time, is CT Rocks. That's CTROCKS. Get an additional 5% off on your first order with Heroes Corner. Again, only your first order, but go ahead and get that additional 5% off on that first order with the promo code CTROCKS, CTROCKS, and you can experience a bunch of the other savings this month on books such as Conan the Cimmerian, number 14, 52% off, only $1.44. DMZ number 45, 42% off, only $1.73. We got Red Tornado number 1, 77% off for 69 cents. Green Arrow Black Canaries, 42% off. Bunch of stuff for a large amount of savings. And all the Jetta books are nice and cheap. And we'll talk more about Jetta next episode when we actually have Mr. Jetta himself on the episode. But best damn customer service around, and congratulations to Heroes Corner for 2 brand spanking years in business. And here's for 2 more, and 2 more after that, and 2 more after that. HeroesCorner.com. Yeah, I mean, this is going to have to go in the back, because really, where the hell else would it go? Because we're just being crazy. So, did you enjoy your day? Did you enjoy your CNI 200 today?
CNI 200 was very good. Did stuff.
It was so good, he had to take a pause.
Yeah.
He took Captain Kirk, dramatic pause.
Rock it, man.
I like the Stewie one.
And I'm gonna be high as a kite by then.
So what? I mean that's all you gotta say? Seriously?
No, it was awesome. It was pretty crowded, but it was nice and low key.
It wasn't crowded at all. We just hung out. You just want to be on top of people, and not for nothing, it is kind of clingy.
Yeah.
I didn't want to complain, but if you're gonna cuff them, use both hands at least. I appreciate that.
Well, this is 2 years in a row that we basically just took the end, like directly near the table, and just sat there.
That's pretty much true. I'm wondering what they're gonna do for 250 then.
Maybe barbecue.
Favorite moment, Michael Emerson doing the lyric, the lines from other movies. I mean, that was terrific.
Oh, that was awesome. I and I'm surprised at how much I know about Batman the 60s series. That's because I bit to it.
I mean, you literally screamed that out, man. That was kind of like your most geekiest moment ever.
You know what it is? I downloaded a torrent of all 3 seasons.
No, your uncle bit.
Yeah, I got it from my uncle Bit like 4 months ago, and I've been.
Your uncle Bit? Is he married to Bill Torrent?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Last name,
oh, really?
It's Jewish.
Ah, shalom. Shalom, Mahayim. Mechalek Ohai, Mechal Heidi Heidi Ho. All right.
It's Torrentberg.
Torrentberg.
Yeah, so, I remember that. But actually, what's her face from I Love Lucy?
Uh-huh.
Ethel was in that show, and she was the one going up. What happened in that show was, Penguin and Ethel decided to get a prize horse, and then they switched it out so that they bet against their horse, and they switched the horse out with another one. And Bruce decided to enter his horse and to make sure they win, and that the Penguin doesn't get the money. And so then
never look a gift horse in the mouth, Batman. Please tell me they used that at least once, please.
I don't think they did.
Damn it!
You know, this episode synopsis of Batman was brought to you by Heroes Corner.
No. I'm sorry, but no. I will lose my sponsorship if I try to turn this into a Heroes Corner ad now after this crap, all right? No.
It was brought to you from the fine folks at Jim Hanley's Universe.
Forbidden Planet.
Yes.
See how people looked at me?
Rath got traded to Jim Hanley's for a player to be named later.
Yeah, I almost did.
And the player to name being later was Box of Donuts?
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. No, Bill Torrent.
No. It was a Box of Donuts, and they were all grape jelly.
Oh, dude. That's cold. That's cold.
That is stone cold. I'm never working for you.
What? What?
Give me a hell yeah.
Hell yeah.
What?
That's pretty good.
Don't I?
That was right when I stopped watching wrestling. Okay, like right around that point. And there's a reason because that was the stupidest idea anyone had ever had. He's now waiting for the entire train to start cheering for him.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. So raising a water bottle into the air. So do you actually think that any of your shows will ever actually reach the plateau of 200?
No, because I figure hopefully by that time I'm like actually doing a comic book, and so I won't have the time to do it. I'm at 60.
Yeah.
Okay. My brother-in-law just called me. He's at an R bar in Williamsburg, Brooklyn. They have a beer on tap called H Optimus Prime.
I assume Optimus Prime.
Yeah.
Oh, no, Hoptimus Prime.
Optimus Prime.
Hoptimus Prime. Get it? But there's hops in beer.
Okay.
So Hoptimus Prime. Yeah.
Talking about a geek bar.
Yeah, tell me about it. I still like Hebrew. Wait, you never had Hebrew?
Here comes the
You never had Hebrew?
Frank's?
No, Hebrew beer.
Oh, no.
Yeah, it's an actual brewing company,
you
Hebrew.
Know?
Hebrew beer, really?
Hebrew.
He hates me.
He hates me.
Ah, the XFL. Let's just take a laugh moment for the XFL here. All right. So, what else do you want to say? This is probably going to wind up in the back of like either episode like 91 or 92 or something like that if I ever get to it.
Donkey sheath.
Jesus Christ.
Here's a good question to start a discussion.
Yeah. What?
If you're, let's say you're searching in bushes. Mm-hmm. And you find a tree.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make you a tree hugger?
You know, it's a very important question, one that I will not answer.
Wait. Are you trying to say I'm okay?
Raph, please, don't hide it anymore. Just don't. All right? Don't.
Well, Brent, I can't do this anymore.
I can't stop this feeling anymore.
Brandon, you step off, Brandon. I punch behind.
You know, he's so man-pretty.
What?
You know, Brandon's so man-pretty.
Yeah, Brandon, you're very, very man-pretty.
Okay, no. Yeah, don't ever get that close to my mic again. All right?
Unless you're paying extra.
Yeah, please. Extra. There's a $5 surcharge for anything that close, all right?
That's pretty
cheap. Yeah. That's not too bad. Well, okay, let's talk about the fact that I totally turned you on to a green drink today.
That was a pretty fucking awesome drink.
Yeah, Midori Sours, right?
But I think they messed mine up.
Really? Why?
It just didn't look like they just put Midori and ginger and Sprite together.
So there was no sour?
No.
No, that's...
I just saw her put a green bottle and then the Sprite.
Yeah, you're supposed to get sour mix in there, too.
Yeah, I didn't see none of that.
Well, that sucks. Oh, well.
Donkey balls.
Blame it on the man.
It was a woman.
Blame it on the resurrection.
Blame it on the alcohol.
See, I hope he's kidding now, because, I mean, that was water, not vodka, right? Oh, great, terrific.
You're the best.
Give me something else comic related so we can at least make this somewhat relevant.
This boat is real.
That is not comic book related.
Are your parents red?
They were at one point, and then...
Can you please just give me something, please? I'm not asking for much here.
Mouse Guard was awesome this week.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, it was pretty good.
What issue are they up to?
Last one.
Last one, really?
Last one, then now they're doing a hardcover. That was the last one. You bought the last one today.
Wow. Interesting. I have not bought any of it. In fact, the only two that I have are the ones I got for free.
I like my stuff. Like.
That's true. Yeah. Oh, Green Lantern was amazing this week.
Spoilers?
Yeah.
He ate his hand.
He did not eat his hand.
He ate his hand.
He cut his hand.
He ate his hand.
I thought I saw the blade come down.
Okay, was it... No, he cut it off with the blade.
Oh,
and then
yeah.
Then he ate it, right?
And then... Nom, don't do that.
Hey. And then he like.
So wait. So do we all think now that, well, maybe the blue ring is gonna bring his arm back.
He's gonna hope for another arm. That's what he's gonna do.
Yeah, he's gonna. Okay, that would be great. That would be so awesome.
I really hope this doesn't hurt. I really hope this is gonna come
back
on.
Did you win that Silver Surfer, or was that just in there? Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, all right. You just bought that now, or
that
what?
No, I was old.
Okay.
Half off at the New York Comic Con.
Oh, nice. You still carrying it around?
I haven't even started reading it.
Okay, all right.
It's still in its wrapping. Yeah.
Yeah, I can tell by that, yeah.
Oh,
Really?
Yeah, really. Yeah.
You should be a rocket scientist, okay?
You reading War Kings?
Yes, it's awesome.
Are you caught up?
Yes, it is awesome.
Okay, I haven't read Guardians of the Galaxy that came out this week, or Nova.
Yeah.
But the last ones I read were the previous Guardians of the Galaxy, and then War of Kings, and then War of Kings Ascension.
Yeah.
That is good stuff, man.
The Darkhawk stuff is just amazing.
Darkhawk.
Paxton, guys.
You're the reason they still brought back Darkhawk, huh?
Yeah.
You and Ron Richards.
Yeah, that's about it. There really ain't anybody else. Just like Brent's the entire reason that Azrael's back.
Yeah.
What's funny is before War of Kings came out, they announced the Darkhawk series. The editor of the series came into Midtown, and I told him, "That's awesome." And he's like, "Well, look forward to the future. We may have a Darkhawk mini, more Darkhawk minis going." I'm like, "Yeah."
Was this Cebulski or was this the editor?
No, he's the writer. The editor. All right. I met CB with Matt Fraction like 2 weeks ago when they were all in here for the Marvel Summit. You were there.
Was that
because you had like the big Marvel Bedazzled Darkhawk number one issue cover on your hat?
No. Fraction follows me on Twitter.
Plus, how amazing is it that Rocket Raccoon used to hang out with Papa Summers?
Yeah, that is awesome. I love that reveal. And also, what's going to be awesome, I can't wait to read this one, because it's, what's his face? Star-Lord versus Black Bolt.
Yeah. You know what else is awesome? And I got to bring this up. Like, I was coming home from work about 2 days ago, and this guy sits down next to me, and, it takes about like 4 or 5 minutes, but eventually he goes into his bag. It's a Midtown Comics bag, and he starts reading the comic. And I'm already reading the comic, and I feel like, well, this is weird. There should really only be one person on the train reading a floppy, because it's
strangers in the night,
exchanging glances.
Strangers in the night.
Don't remember any of the words.
Strangers in the night.
Let's just repeat that part. I mean, have you? How often have you been on a worm? One of the automated trains. It doesn't sound like that. I mean, how?
In about a year.
Yeah, right. Sure. like how often have you been?
Yeah. This is Red Hartenburg Choo Choo.
But how many times have you been on a train and like randomly out of nowhere, like a stranger starts reading a comic next to you?
Actually, this girl I went out with once. We were on a train. And I'm talking to one of my co-workers about Watchmen. He leaves. She pulls out her Rage of the Red Lanterns one shot and sort of gives me a look.
So this is recent?
No, this is 3 months ago.
Rage of the Red Lanterns. That was only like...
Well, 2008. Late 2008.
Well, okay, recent for you, because I'm sure you haven't gotten many dates since then.
Two?
Oh, wow, not bad.
It's, yeah, they just...
Your batting average is going up.
Yeah, it's just now I'm calling... It's just we didn't... The last two we didn't.
I won't say the comment that I want to say. I really won't.
Comic Time is a problem. I'm on the podcast now.
Okay, that wasn't what I was gonna say. But you know what? Let's record one on a train. Why not?
Comic Time is a proud moment of the podcast.
and he totally messed it up.
Comic Time.
All right. You do the comic timing part.
Comic Timing
is a proud member
of the podcast. Yeah.
Stop screwing it up.
Of the Comics Podcast Network.
Bitch.
Bitch?
Bitch.
Bitch.
Puta.
Ditka.
Mike Ditka.
Mike Ditka?
Mike
really?
Ditka. Mike 2503. New York Giants won.
My favorite Comics Podcast Network thing that we did was at this year's MegaCon. You've probably heard it on the show once or twice. Where at the end, I'm all printed. That was requested by Brent to stay in the CPN thing. Because I was just going to take it out.
I didn't know what the hell I was doing there. I mean,
I've never heard you that tongue-tied before.
I haven't done it in a while.
Really? Really? You haven't done it in a while? You're out of practice?
It's so hard.
Are you a 40-year-old virgin?
No, not at all.
Are you a 25-year-old virgin?
No, not at all.
Really?
He means that you're giving it, not taking it.
Oh, that's different.
Okay. Well, Rami's the bottom.
All right.
She said she charged extra for the other way, so...
Oh, snap. Okay. Jesus. All right, and the only other comment I need to make, Battle for the Cow, most useless 3 issues I've ever read.
I'm pretty sure there was another useless... No.
No.
I got one.
Go ahead.
Oracle, Battle for the Cure.
Okay. No. See, that was still a good story, at least. I enjoyed the story in that, even if it went nowhere.
That's my thing. It was a really good story, but and for no
back.
Reason.
You know, Wendy's back.
Yeah, but it was like for no, like they could, literally they could just do a page in Teen Titans where they brought Wendy back. But I accept that. But yeah, Battle for the Cow was pretty loose. It's like Jason's Batman. No, I'm not. Okay, you're Batman. Bye.
Dude, you knew from like the first page of issue one that Dick was gonna be Batman.
No, I knew once Bruce was dead, Dick was gonna be Batman.
Yeah,
I knew once they put that teaser picture of Frank Quitely's artwork. That Dick was
it was Tony Daniel, actually.
It was Tony Daniel?
Yeah, Tony Daniel's blog. You remember the...
No, but didn't he email it to somebody? And it got on, like, Newsarama or something?
No, it was straight up from Tony Daniel's blog.
No, yeah.
Made him take it down.
Good job, idiot.
Yeah, Tony Daniel's blog, he posted it up. And, his blog actually went down, period, for a while after that. He said he wasn't going to blog anymore. Yeah, he's blogging now.
Well, how about this one? Ravage 2099. That was pretty useless.
Yes, but you see, that was called the 90s. Everything.
No, it wasn't.
Yes, it was.
Last week. Wait, new to me.
Wait, what?
If I'm reading it now, it's new to me.
Oh, okay. All right. What are you, Adam Murdo?
I guess so.
Adam Murdo, we love you. The Time Bubble is an amazing podcast. I'm serious, though. It's a good show. If you had a chance to listen to it.
I haven't done it yet.
It's good stuff. I mean, I would listen to anything Adam Murdo says. I mean, I would listen to him read the phone book, dog.
Again?
Melbourne. Adam. 232 West 15th Street, 212-493-8787.
Okay, I didn't say you.
Oh.
All right, I said Adam. And yeah.
Cable Vision.
speaking of Cable Vision, okay? You know how pissed I am that there's still no BBC America on Cable Vision?
That sucks.
Yeah, I know. You meaning that even though Torchwood is going to be airing in the US at the same time it's airing in the UK, I still need to a weekly download this stuff.
What can you do? I thank you, DirecTV.
Yeah, suck it.
I love you, DirecTV.
Suck it hard.
DirecTV does.
Suck it, Trebek.
Just, it's DirecTV so awesome. It's just so caring as a lover. And
yes, well, that's not what your mother said last night.
No, she didn't say that.
Yeah?
First of mouth was full, Trebek.
All right. Final thoughts before I turn off this recorder.
Stranger of the Comics, strangersofcomics.com, awesome podcast.
Yeah, and for anybody who didn't realize, that's been Gabe this entire time since I never bothered to introduce him.
Gabe needs to go to detox now.
Yes. He tried to go to, they tried to make him go to rehab, but he said no.
No, I met Jimmy.
Oh, okay, all right. Rap, final thoughts?
Final crisis.
Geeks Unite.
What's that?
That podcast that never comes out.
Oh, right.
Chronicles of the Raft Radio, where basically it's just you sitting in front of a computer going, my life is horrible.
Actually, no, the last one was really good.
I admit, I actually did like the last one. You were funny.
Yeah, the last one was good. Because I'm trying to...
just in case I didn't get on mic, say it again.
As compared to when he's not funny, which is the norm.
Yes, that's true. Yeah.
I'm trying to develop a daily show, comic review show.
Oh, you mean the one that you've been trying to do for the last year? I'm sorry.
No, it's only been like 3 months.
yeah, but I remember when you started the GUN, that was like officially. Year. Dude, hasn't it been like 6 months now at least?
No, it's December.
December, really?
December, yeah.
Hey, hold on.
No.
January, February, March, April, May. That's 5 months. And if it was the beginning of December, that's 6 months.
No, we started... Well, I announced it in December, and then we did it in January.
Did you do a press conference and all that?
Yeah,
you guys were there. Don't you remember?
No, I wasn't. Did you drug me
actually,
again?
Well, yeah, I do apologize for those big guys from prison.
What? All right, we're ending this here, and please...
No, it's not herpes. It's
Let me just make this one final comment here. Mark Waid, I'm sorry. Bye.
Superman can sing.
Hey there, folks. My name is Ian Levinstein, and welcome to episode 92 of Comic Timing. We are Brentless yet again, but for good reason, as this is part of the Uber con wrap-up that we're doing here on Comic Timing. And this time, we're joined by the three people plus me who went to Wizard World Philly this past weekend. And we're joined here first off by returning guest and MegaCon roommate, Brandon Christopher. What's going on, Brandon?
Hello, hello.
And we can actually hear you.
That's quite good, then.
Yes, it is. Just make sure not to, like, do your uber fast Micro Machines voice, and we're fine.
I shall try.
Good.
Well, right now, I'm still in my Peter Cullen voice right now.
Transform and roll out.
Roll out, yes, exactly.
Why, did you just see it?
I saw it on Tuesday night.
Thoughts, opinions?
Oh, my God.
Train wreck?
No. Well, surprisingly, no.
Wow. Good.
Yeah.
Okay.
Michael Bay made a good sequel for once.
Wow. Okay. Good. I'll have to actually see it because my friend David, who I trust with movie things most of the time, said it was, like, awful, like, god-awful bad. So.
If you're a purist, yeah, I can see why you're saying it's god-awful bad, but if you don't go and expect Citizen Kane, like you shouldn't, then it's going to be a good time.
Spoilers, Rosebud is a sled.
No!
Damn, I didn't know that.
Oh, boy. All right, well, he just talked, so let me introduce him. The king of the 11 o'clock comics voicemail and a member of, like, 75,000 podcasts all associated to Mr. DeFixer himself. We got Darryl on the line. What's up, Darryl?
Hey.
Representing NYC, right?
That's what I do. Without stalking in the middle of the night.
See, what's great is we've got three NYC people on this call and one Philly.
Let's say, don't you all represent NYC?
Yeah. Yes. We're outnumbering you, you bastard.
You're like doing East Coast gang signs. I just don't know any.
What? But we're still on the East Coast, dude.
Yeah, so we got to do some West Coast gang signs.
But then we'll hate ourselves because...
All right, this is getting confusing. Mr. Leroy Ziggo, Comic Tube, hi.
Yeah, how's it going?
It's all right. Not bad. A little bit of this, a little bit of that.
I'm just saying this right now, and people are getting mad at me all over the forums. Michael Jackson, Black Lantern.
Oh!
I told you too soon.
You are a horrible fucker. Oh, my God. Which is great, because we had MTV on in the background as Chris and I were recording just now, doing our Anime Next and Anime Boston wrap-up. So, like, randomly, we're just like, oh, Sheryl Crow's on the line. Oh, yeah, how about that? Okay, moving on. But, eh.
At least Michael Jackson's playing... I mean, at least MTV's playing good stuff.
Yes, yeah. What does it say? Okay, what does it say that it takes the death of a pop icon legend for them to actually play music?
Yeah, because I expect to turn on the TV and look at True Life again.
True Life, I was a teenage rapist, you know, something like that. I mean,
how many true lives can you do?
Like, everybody's life is true, according to
that. I think they had a retard one. I'm a high school senior. Like, so was
no,
I.
The
Who
worst
cares?
One was yesterday. Was I'm competitive.
What?
And it just had two people. It had a bunch of people that are competitive with their friends.
Oh, fantastic!
No,
they just ran out of things to do.
No, my thing right now is 16 and Pregnant. That's a good show there.
I laugh
at
that.
Oh, yeah, that's
a
keeper right there.
Let's be serious here for a minute. Moment of silence for the King of Pop. All right, Mr. Michael Jackson. You might have been a freakazoid, but you made some great music, and that's really all
that
matters.
No, that he did.
Yes.
That he did.
True. And Farrah Fawcett also.
Yes, and Farrah Fawcett, which was, you know, not a surprise that it happened, because we saw it coming, but still, it's sad.
Still sad.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah,
that was an icon. I lost my virginity to her.
Yeah.
There was a rumor going on that Jeff Goldblum also died, but they were like, okay, that was just a fake rumor. But
they said that before about him, that he died.
Yeah, well, this has been a horrible week, man, because there's been a lot of death going around. I mean, I just want to get all the stuff out of the way here. I know that Around Comics lost a member of their family this week.
Yeah.
I want to give a shout out to all the Around Comics guys. You know, hang in there and everything. The art director of the college that did some fill-in episodes when Around Comics was on hiatus. I know that he got in a tragic accident this past week and passed away. Mm-hmm. And you know they're hanging in there. And I know that I want to give my thoughts out there also to Umar. Hang in there, buddy.
Yeah, definitely.
You know,
definitely.
So, right out. So, we're gonna have to talk some positive shit soon, because I'm starting to feel down in the dumps already, man. So, let me explain to everybody what this episode is gonna be all about here. I think I will keep this as the opening, just because we seem to actually be doing an opening here. What I'm gonna be doing is I'm gonna be inserting throughout the show a bunch of stuff that have been recorded at the past couple of conventions that I've been to, plus one or two things that were just recorded now about conventions that I went to. This is sort of a combination Geek Speak slash Comic Timing episode, because we're going to be talking about Chris and I, my girlfriend Chris, we just recorded a little segment on Anime Boston and Anime Next. So that's going to be airing in this episode, plus shenanigans on the train back to Brooklyn after Mocha with Gabe and Raph and myself, which was really freaking crazy. I will say that. And actually, wait, I'm sorry. That wasn't after Mocha. That was after CNI. Yeah, after CNI's 200th episode. There we go. That makes more sense. And I've got some stuff that was recorded at Philly, including an interview with the guys from Sentinels and one or two segments that I recorded with Brandon that, you know, aren't really that important because we're going to be talking about it here.
And Mike Tyson.
And Mike. And Matt Tyson. And Matt. Hi there, people. We're at Hamilton now. We're going to Trenton, so that's perfectly fine. This is episode 92 of Comic Timing, and we're here on the train, heading over to Trenton. Getting ready to go to Wizard World Philly, and surprisingly enough, we somehow found a magical special guest on this train ride. I don't know what he's doing here. I mean, he's got enough money to you know, take the whatever he needs to do to get there, but Mike Tyson is sitting with us. Mike, what... Are you actually going to Wizard of Philly as well? What's going on?
I'm going to Philly right now. Since I don't know. I don't know where I'm at right now, man. I'm just trying to do me. I just been my daughter and everything just.
Yeah. Now, was there a word of English in what was just said?
I get your kids.
Mike, what do you think of Final Crisis? You know that
is that a book?
Yes, it's an edible book, exactly. You can eat it. It's tasty.
I think I had it for lunch.
What is wrong with us? Oh, my God. Welcome to another exciting episode of Comic Timing, people. You may never return.
Eat your children.
Yeah, well, for the record, Sean does say hi. He couldn't make it because he didn't know he had a birthday to go to.
That's fine. It's all good. So, here we go. Wizard World Philly. What the hell was that?
Wow, they're excited about it.
We'll start things off actually with Daryl, since, you know, he's new to Comic Timing, so why don't we have him talk first? Your opinions on Wizard World Philly. I know you were there one day like us, so...
this is my first time going to Philly.
So, same with Wizard World Philly. Same with me.
And it was just... It felt like I was there on a Sunday of a con. Mm-hmm. Watching it on the net, you know, previous years, and looking and hearing, you know, all the announcements they would make on the weekend, it just felt like it would be more exciting. Uh-huh. And when I got there, it was nice. I mean, it wasn't really a crowd.
Well, the way the CGS guys put it, and just to plug them here, they had a really good wrap up of the whole con scene also. Probably put best this way, that it wasn't really much of a networking con. However, it was a great shopping con.
Right.
You know, like, I mean, I didn't really get the chance to really meet anybody that I was really, really, really looking forward to meeting. You know, because, I mean, the guest list, sure, Garth Ennis was there, and you had Rags Morales, and you had, like, Paolo Rivera, and, you know, a bunch of other people that, you know, are cool and all that. It's just... there wasn't much of an artist alley to really throw myself into, and I'm used to that at a cons, so it was a little weird.
Well, I got to talk to Billy Tan.
Oh, cool.
He's going to be doing something with Thor. He's going to do 3 issues of Thor coming up. He talked about his Daredevil book that he's doing with the list.
Cool.
I mean, he was cool. He was doing sketches. You really, when you wanted a sketch, you really didn't have to wait. You know, that was a good thing. If you wanted a sketch, you could just go right up there. It was no more than like maybe 2 or 3 people on the list when you got there. Mm-hmm. So, you know, the only one that really had a long line was Phil Jimenez. He had a long line.
Phil Jimenez, that would be.
Yeah, Jimenez. But other than that, they had Shane Davis there. He didn't have a long line. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was just kind of subdued.
Yeah, well, like, I mean, okay, I'll admit, the one sketch I got all weekend was $1, and it was from Franco from Tiny Titans. So, you know, I wasn't exactly there for that many sketches, but it's nice. Was it sort of refreshing to be able to just, you know, go up and get your sketch as opposed to having to wait in, like, a line of 30?
Yeah, because with New York, it was just so packed and chaotic and crazy that you really didn't have time to talk to anybody, mm-hmm. you know, or get a sketch. If you had to get a sketch, you really had to wait online, and then you'd have to wait longer to get a sketch. So with Philly, you could just go up there, and I got a nice little turtle sketch.
Oh, cool.
Like, the guys, I'm mad that I left the card, but the guy did a good sketch of all the turtles dressed as a different member of the Colored Lanterns.
Mm,
like,
nice.
One for Hope, one for Orange, one for Red Lantern, and one for the Blue Lanterns. And it was, you know, it was a nice sketch. I didn't have to wait online. And it was cool to be able to sit there, and we talked for like 10, 15 minutes. I talked to Billy Tan for like 10, 15 minutes.
Nice. Yeah. Well,
you know, it was fun. It was good in that aspect where if you did see an artist that you liked, you got to actually talk to them.
Yeah, which
and
is,
you weren't just,
you know, not something you get to do at every single con, but hey,
it's
still a little weird though, because did they actually do good business? We don't know.
That's the thing. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, let's send it over to Brandon, because Brandon's been to Philly before. So I guess he can be the returning victim, you know, his opinion on everything that went down. How'd it go for you, Brennan?
All right. I've been going to Wizard World Philly since, I think, like, 2003. So out of the six cons I've gone to, this is definitely by far the smallest. Last year was where we were in the convention center. We were on the same side as we were last year, which is the smallest side of the convention center, where all the smaller halls are. And, you know, it was in the small room again. But last year there was a DC and Marvel presence. You know, you could actually tell this was a Wizard Con. This year, without any, you know, DC or Marvel presence at all, it felt almost like MegaCon. And, you know, not so much MegaCon, or felt like another small show.
Yeah, because, I mean, MegaCon still had some presence, at least. I mean, you had the Dio there, you had stuff like that. And plus, MegaCon's a little bit different because that's a combo con. That's both anime and comics.
True.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, going back a couple years ago, I mean, what happened was, I think the biggest year was probably 04 or 05, and it was, they had JR Senior, the infamous Spike Booth was there also. You had Aspen, this is the year they launched Fathom. You had Marvel and DC right in the front. I think this is the year Hulk came out also.
Okay.
I want to say Hulk came out the year also. Maybe another Blade, the TV series came out also that year too.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just an absolute crap storm of, you know, like, I remember Uncle Sal was next to the Wizard booth, and they had this infamous Wizard wheel. You guys ever heard it before?
Yes.
You know, where they have it's like they get in line, they spin the wheel, and they get a prize. If it lands in a prize, they get a prize. If not, they do like a dare. And, to quote Uncle Sal, you know, people were drinking their urine, you know, doing blood sacrifices. That's pretty much what it was. I mean, it had gotten really, really big. I think the coolest thing about that, though, was the fact that the artists there were still approachable. I mean, I talked to Phil Jimenez for about a half hour, you know, about, I think it was a Most Extreme Show or Most Extreme Challenge.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, I mean, that's the one cool thing I can say about any Wizard show, is that they keep it relatable. You know, it may have gotten that year bigger than its britches, and I think they're paying for it now.
Mm-hmm.
They think that was the year they also launched Wizard Boston, I believe, as well.
Yeah, which only lasted 1 year.
Yeah, right, and then the year after that, they killed, I think, they killed Wizard Chicago or Wizard Texas, I think it was, mm-hmm. the following year.
Yeah.
And you could tell it was on a downward spiral by then, but I think if they do continue it next year, I think we'll start to see the presence of Wizard being Wizard again. I mean, I can definitely see with the economy being the way it is, they played it a little bit closer to the vest.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I don't see any reason why Wizard should not be able to start wrapping the shows up again. I mean, if they just keep it to two or three shows every year, this could, you know, potentially be a new rebound for Wizard, because the shopping alone was enough to bring people out.
But that's kind of weird, though, because Sheamus just bought Toronto. Mm-hmm. You know, and no, he didn't buy the actual city of Toronto. He bought Toronto Comic Con, just one of those shows.
I read that.
Yeah. Okay. So now he's got you know, Big Apple in the fold. He's got Philly. He's got Chicago. He's got Toronto. That's four right there. You just said two or three cons, and he's got four already. So you would think that one of them has to go. And from the way people have been describing it, Chicago still does pretty well, even if it is, you know, not even technically in Chicago. It's on the outskirts. Or in one of the suburbs, Philly would be the one to go. It sucks because you'd think with a prime location like Philly, they'd be able to get something going.
I know. Philly honestly is closest to any other mainstream comic area in New York. We're not even an hour away from New York. We're 30 minutes away from New York. We're actually in a major city, if you think about it. This is one of the few cons actually which is in the city.
Well,
of the MegaCon.
Yeah, no, definitely. I mean, I don't consider, and you know, Daryl, Leroy, you can agree or disagree. I don't even consider the Javits to be in New York.
No, it's actually, isn't it on the Hudson almost?
It's this close to being in New Jersey.
Yeah.
You know, because of the location and the fact that, you know, you gotta lug your ass over there and it's not actually near anything. You know?
Yeah, it's kind of out on its own.
Yeah, it's like almost, it's
not the docks.
Dude, it's this close to being on Liberty Island, you know?
No, you're right. It's right on the docks with all the other boats.
Yeah, exactly. So,
well, do you think that Wizard is going to kind of trade New York for Philly?
It's a possibility. It's a very big possibility, especially considering that, you know, I'm pretty sure you would agree with this also, that Big Apple's not going to stay in November, because that's when New York Comic-Con happens next year. So where do you move it? Good place to move it would be June, you know, or something like that. And why would you run two cons in June?
But New York Comic Con in June would be fantastic.
I mean, they didn't even talk about Philly when they had the, you know, the Big Apple Con. The guys at Wizard that were there at the free show, they just kept talking about New York in October.
Right.
That's all they kept talking about. He kept pushing it. He walked around the con about six or seven times, handing out things about New York.
Yeah, even though they have dates confirmed for next year's Philly for almost around the same time a year, which is kind of weird. Brandon, one of the questions I wanted to ask you, though, and this is relating to what Daryl said earlier, were the artists and things still approachable at Philly before this year? Like, I mean, I know you talked about, you know, talking to Phil Jimenez for like an hour last time around. I mean, were you still able to like have a long conversation with artists when the convention was bigger?
Yeah. Last year I actually got to talk to Peter David for a little bit. Actually, Peter David and his granddaughter or his niece.
Oh, cool.
And she's like, at the time, I think she's either five or six, and she was giving out her own sketches. Mm-hmm. They were free sketches, but I gave her $5 for one of them, you know, just to make her day.
Raph Suhu napkin sketches.
Well, not so much that. Actually, a little more better quality and detail, but
I had to say it.
But I mean, yeah, Peter David last year. I mean, I think it all really depends on the personal aspects of the artists in the alley.
Right.
I mean, of course, Greg Korn's always a good guy to talk to.
Yeah.
I mean, Palmiotti, you'll talk your ear off if you give him a chance to.
Yeah.
Amanda Connor as well. Last year I got insulted by Rags Morales because my Phillies hat. But yeah, Art and Franco also, they've been there for years as well. They were there well before they started Tiny Titans, when they were promoting Wolf Boy.
Mm-hmm.
And they were always a blast to talk to. Are you guys familiar with Brandon and Brian Frame?
Not really, no.
They do the art for the book called Knights of the Dinner Table.
Oh, okay, all right.
Oh, okay, yeah. I know that.
Yeah, they're actually based out of my hometown, well, right around the corner from me in Abington, but they're based out of Horsham. And they're always approachable as well. I mean, again, it really boils down to the artists themselves. You'll, of course, find, I think I remember when Liefeld was there. I think it was the same year we had J.R. Jr. and J.R. Sr.
Mm-hmm.
But that was the same year. And Liefeld was only here for a day. He was here Friday, and he's like, you know, F you guys, I'm going to go someplace else, and didn't show up again.
Well, the top of Liefeld was there. His feet were elsewhere.
Oh, jeez. plus, he had that grimace also in lots of pockets. So. Yeah, exactly.
Brandon Christopher, you just got a Franco original. What are you going to do now?
I'm going to Disney World.
No, you're not.
No, I'm really not. I'm going to probably go back home, I think.
Yeah, really?
Yeah.
Not yet, though. We still got other things to do here.
We got a panel. That's about it.
Yeah, pretty much. Well, compared to other years, how has Wizard World Philly been treating you?
Itty bitty this year.
Itty bitty?
Itty bitty.
Even smaller than MegaCon?
Yeah. Space-wise, much smaller than MegaCon, actually.
Move over a little bit so we don't actually kill anybody.
Yeah.
Now, what did you get from Franco?
From Franco, I got myself a Lagoon Boys. Not sketch, but an original artwork in my sketchbook for Un Delore.
Which was pretty damn sweet.
That was. I was expecting to pay like $3 or $4 maybe for it, but wasn't able to get a colored and ink sketch for a dollar.
And most importantly, colored with crayons.
This is true, yes. It will last forever.
Amen to that. Yeah, I got myself a Cyborg because I was thinking of getting a Kyle Rayner, but then I'm like, wait a minute, I got a Teen Titans Young Justice book here. I should probably stick to that.
And what is Cyborg saying?
Cyborg!
Exactly.
Toysaur!
Charlie! Want to go to Candy Mountain, Charlie?
All right, so looking at this place here, okay, next year, I hate to say that, but, you know, will there be a next year?
I'm going to probably say no, I don't think so. I mean, over the last couple of years, Wizard World has been getting smaller and smaller. I think the height of it was, I want to say, either 04 or 05 when Sal Abernathy was here.
Right.
And it was the biggest shite storm which could ever possibly be.
Was that still the same weekend as Heroes?
No, actually it was not. It was, Heroes in, Wizard World Philly used to be the first weekend in June. Then they moved to the third weekend in June, which also correlates to with HeroesCon. That was not a smart move, I don't think. Cause,
probably not, yeah.
HeroesCon's getting to be a bigger, better con every year. You go down there. Yeah, I have not been down there myself, but every time I hear about HeroesCon, I guess I'm getting better.
I came literally this close to going to Heroes this year, but then I saw that Philly was this weekend, and I'm like, eh, I should probably save some money and just go to Philly instead.
Yeah, exactly. That's my real exciting factor in HeroesCon and Wizard World every year is the fact that I live in Philadelphia. I can take a 20-minute train ride and get here.
Right. I mean, it took me 3 hours to get here, but hell, I only spent $30 to get here.
I spent $8.
Well, good for you. Aren't you special?
I'm local, can I say?
Yes, but you're not Brian Wood.
No, I'm not Brian Wood.
Or Brian Wood.
Brian Wood. Or Harold Jennett.
Harold Jennett. How does he keep coming up?
I don't know. It's just a fun name to say.
Yes, he most certainly is. Now,
I'm surprised that Harold actually is not here this year. I mean, I know he does live in the area, so both him and Chuck lived within the area.
Uh-huh.
And I know a couple years back they were at Wizard World promoting Smoke and Mirrors, which Harold was doing at the time.
But he's not here this time, I guess. Well,
no.
Harold's had some stuff doing. I mean, I know that he's been trying to work on some more mimes. I know that they've been doing that as a web series.
Yes.
So he's got plenty of stuff on his plate.
Yeah, I mean, right now mimes mostly come out, I think, either daily or three times a week.
Something like three times a week, yeah.
Three times a week on the Mind's website, and that's coming out with new stuff.
Uh-huh.
And addendum to the book also, which is, I think is pretty impressive.
All right, you know, while I have you here, the return of the Clone Saga. Who saw that coming?
Which Clone Saga?
The Clone Saga.
Let's not talk about that. I stopped being Spider-Man months ago.
Well, okay. I don't know if you heard exactly what they're doing, but they're going to be getting Howard Mackey and Tom DeFalco with art by the world-famous Todd Knock.
DeFalco.
Yeah, Howard Mackey and Tom DeFalco with art by Todd Knock, okay? And they're going to be getting them to be doing a Clone Saga the way it originally was intended, with the actual original ending.
So they're going to do the original ending where it didn't wake up and it was all a dream.
Yeah, basically.
Oh, wonderful.
Yeah, I mean, yay or nay to that.
Really? You brought your V-mask?
Yeah, well, no. I didn't bring it for me, actually. I brought it for a friend.
Anon is not here in Philadelphia today.
Well, he did actually just join Anonymous, which is why I'm giving it to him.
You can't say that. You know, you just lost the game.
I hate that meme with a passion, because that's all they say at AnimeCon, so I just wanted to stop.
You lost the game, sir!
Yeah, it's so stupid, like I said. All right, so I guess that's really all for now. We'll have more after the DC Nation panel, where we'll talk more things.
It's kind of hard. It's kind of hard to explain what makes Philly a good show. But the reason I like it because it's close and local. But I mean, honestly, it's still a chance to interact and meet other artists and writers.
Right.
And I think that's the part. I think that's the heart of any Comic Con, right?
Oh, sure, definitely. And well, I mean, and talk about being close. I mean, Leroy, you'll agree with this, I'm sure. You know, being able to just hop on the train and be at the convention. You don't even have to walk anywhere. You walk upstairs and boom, you're there. I mean, that's pretty awesome.
Yeah, yeah, I was totally surprised by that.
Yeah. Because and I thought I'd have to at least transfer trains or something like that. But damn, I mean, you're on that two stops later and it leads right into the SEPTA. Bam, you're good to go. But Leroy, let's get your thoughts on the con.
All right. Everything was pretty cool. I mean, I think Peter Reels put it best at the forum. It was more like a comic book flea market. You know.
Dude, I'm totally imagining that now. I really just
want
to see
true.
Which is not a bad thing. I mean, I went into this and I wasn't thinking this isn't going to be a New York Comic Con, you know, because nothing can be New York Comic Con unless it's San Diego Comic Con, from what I hear.
Mm-hmm.
And to be honest, I just went in there. I mean, granted, I did my cosplay just to enter the silly costume contest. And it's Wizard, so it's like, you know, of course there's going to be a whole bunch of cosplayers as opposed to, like, Big Apple Con or anything like that. But I got to be honest, I think the most rewarding part of this whole con experience is that I took two of my good friends, one of my coworkers, Sean, and one of my best friends that I'd known her since I was 14, Becky. And this was their first con. And seeing their reaction to this just honestly made the whole thing for me. Like, we all had such a blast. You know?
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead.
Oh, speaking of Becky, by the way, she's a fantastic person to be around because she's so bubbly.
Yeah, but, no. That's why she's one of my best friends. Yeah.
And we were, I think Ian was there for a couple seconds. We were actually at the Newgrounds booth. And apparently Becky has this major thing for a game called Alien Hominid and Capsule Crashers.
Oh my god, yeah.
Yes.
The school name is Tom Foltz from my hometown. He's from Glenside. And I'm talking to him and like, oh yeah, by the way, this is Tom and Becky. This is Tom Foltz, the creator of Alien Hominid. She's like, oh my god, I loved your game. Awesome.
It was the closest thing I've seen to a human being getting chibi.
Yes.
No. She is the only human being that can become chibi. All right? She is the only person as of now that can be chibi. We used to call her Bubbles in high school. Bubbles from Powerpuff Girls.
Nice.
Just because she always had the little pigtails and everything.
Does she know how to speak squirrel also?
You know what? When she yells at me, I swear she's speaking squirrel. Okay. She was speaking squirrel to Lou Ferrigno.
Did he still ask her for money?
Yes.
Yeah, he did. Yeah. When she saw, though, this was the funniest thing. When she saw Lou Ferrigno, she went, oh my god, and he's like, yeah, are you going to buy something? My dad is such a big fan. Oh, tomorrow's Father's Day, and I want to get this.
$5 to be a fan. Sorry.
Exactly.
And he's like, well, if you're going to get this, $25, you know. And she's like, oh, my God. You don't understand. And then she starts talking to him. And then he's looking at her, and she's like, and I'm like, Becky, talk louder. He's deaf. Becky, talk louder. He's deaf. Like, oh, my God.
You know, I used to be a fan of Lou Ferrigno until I met him at a con.
Me too.
And
yeah.
When he looks, you could tell he looks at you like a paycheck.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
When he sees you, and that just totally just, you know, turns me off when you go to see them.
If I may be Umar for 2 minutes, because I'm going on a rant, and I will say it in the way Umar will. So forgive my language here. You're more than welcome to bleep it out.
Look out!
Why the fuck is he charging all this shit? He was only the Hulk and a security guard in both Hulk movies. It's like, dude, you're not all
exactly.
that.
Exactly.
Okay.
You played very good security guard. Thank you.
Leroy, it's as simple as this, okay? What else has he done with his life?
He was on King of Queens for a while.
Yeah, but that's King of Queens. I mean, come on, how much money does that bring in?
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, other than a couple of television appearances here and there and a couple of movie cameos, he really hasn't done much with his life. So what better way to make money than to go to small cons and get the comic nerds to pay him $10 to smile.
But you would think you would be a little nicer about.
Not even,
I mean,
that, or cut deals. It's like $30 for a picture, $30 for an autograph. Like, what? Yeah.
Well, okay, you want to talk about nice. You want to talk about nice. Edward James Olmos, okay?
Yes.
What a nice guy. Oh, my God. I mean.
Oh, we met him on lunch, so he wasn't that nice because my aunt tried to get a picture outside, and uh-huh. He was like, I'm on lunch. Go frack yourself.
If he actually said go frack yourself, that'd be awesome.
did he actually say go frack yourself?
No, but it's just a lucky game. Like, I'm hungry. Go frack yourself.
Well, come on.
He's like, I'm on lunch.
He's on lunch. He's on lunch. Yeah. You know, I mean, that's understandable. I mean, come on. If you were to accost somebody who had been in a con all day when they're on their one break for a picture or something like that, when they're charging for pictures on the inside, I
understand. When you leave, you on lunch. It was just funny how, you know, Ma was like, Mr. Olmos, can I get a picture? He was like, I'm on lunch.
Yeah. but that's even better, because if he is like that outside of cons, you know, as long as you're inside the con and he's nice to you.
It was just amazing to see the guy that played Ty, uh-huh. the girl that played Cat, and Edward James Olmos lined together crossing the street towards me.
Yes, yeah.
And you want to say every idiotic geek thing you want to say, but you're like, you know what? They're outside. You know, they're probably going to go and chill for a minute. So, you know, you don't want to disturb them, because some people just don't care.
Hey, man, I got to watch. I got to watch. You know, Adama, Ty, and Callie go wheel their carts back to their hotel at the end of the day. I mean, that's pretty freaking awesome.
Yeah,
you know,
and she was hot. Cat is hot.
Yes.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Definitely. You know who's really nice? Doug Jones.
Oh my God, he hugs.
Yes, he was. Ray Parker too.
I went with Becky to him, and the cool thing was that he was, you know, he was charging for pictures. He didn't charge me or Becky for a picture or anything, actually. He was talking to us like 10 minutes. Mm-hmm. That was before you came in.
That's what I'm talking about. Mm-hmm. Being like that.
Right.
Yeah, he was really, but he was too huggy. He was like, oh, you're such a sweet young boy. And I'm like, wait, what?
What happened? I'd like to take you back home with me.
I met Erin Gray from Buck Rogers.
Oh, cool.
She played one. She was so cool. She didn't even want money for her. She does a for battered women. $5 for that. And she took pictures. She was talking. I mean, she actually wanted to know, you know, what our names were before she even said anything about money. She was just talking to us about what our names, if we were enjoying the con. She hugged me. She felt me up. I know she wanted me.
Giggity.
Oh, dear.
Okay, wow.
That's my dream, okay? Just don't take it away.
It's fine. It's fine.
Don't take it away.
I won't take it away.
We met the girl that played, the woman that played the Terminator in Terminator 3.
She wasn't that hot in real life.
She was hot to me.
I mean, she was cute, but she wasn't like, no, because I'm there and I'm like,
Nah, she was hot, and she didn't even ask for money. She just was talking to us. She just was straight, you know, and, you know, just conversating with us. See, that type of stuff makes you want to, you know, maybe buy a picture or something like that.
Oh, yeah.
That makes you want to do that.
And Ted Raimi was there, and Ted Raimi, we all know, is a nerd anyway.
Yeah.
You know, I actually overheard him, and I know that this was probably a girl that was, you know, really, really wanted to have sex with Ted Raimi, but like a girl letting him know that they were going to be back in their hotel room playing Wii all night, and if he didn't have anything else doing, that if he wanted to go to a video game party and just hang out in the room, he could go ahead and do that. And he's like, yeah, you know, I might actually do that. I'm in the mood for some Wii.
Wow, yeah, he is a nerd.
Not that sort of Wii, let's hope.
Hey, whatever gets you through tonight.
How about the Green Meanie?
Wait, the who?
The Green Meanie.
The Green Meanie?
Yeah, the line from Spider-Man.
Spider-Man 1, dude.
Oh, God, all right, okay, yeah.
No, I still love him in Xena. I forgot his character's name, though.
Joxer.
The Mighty lives in the countryside. Yeah, well, and how about uh, How about X-Pac?
He got fat.
He's seen better days.
You know what got me, though, was also, speaking of wrestlers?
What?
Jerry the King Lawler.
Yes.
But, the fact that, you know, he's a legitimate artist, you know, now, and actually won one of the highest rated Marcoji books, I think, now.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, I think Headlock is, yeah, one of the top selling Marcoji books now.
Hmm. Well, with Jerry Lawler also, I mean he's an artist, you know, and you wouldn't know that from wrestling.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Did you see Jimmy the Valentine?
I didn't see him, but I knew he was going to be there.
Oh, he looked sad, man.
Oh.
Nobody came to his table.
Oh, that sucks, man.
He reminded me of The Wrestler. After I saw that movie, The Wrestler, he made me think of that.
You want to talk even worse than that. One of the Road Warriors was there.
Oh, I didn't even know that.
I'm pretty sure it was one of the Road Warriors. If not, it was one of the Demolition Men. One of the others. But talk about an aged, sad wrestler.
Wait, was he wearing the face paint?
Hmm. Yeah.
They were both there actually.
Yeah. I mean, that was pretty bad.
A quick question for you guys: did anyone else besides Daryl and Ian? Brandon. Did you get a sketch?
Yes, I got a sketch. I waited in line with Ian for a sketch.
Both of us got the $1 Franco sketches.
Nice.
But not in order, though, apparently.
Mm-hmm.
That was weird.
What'd you get?
I get Lagoon Boy.
Okay, you got you. Yeah, all right. And I got Cyborg, and he put an exclamation point on a on a bubble, and it was like Cyborg.
You know, it's interesting. Mine, I really wish I caught his name because I was like, once I got my, because the thing was, I went to him, I gave him my sketchbook, I walked around, I got my sketchbook back, I left, and I forgot to ask his name. I forgot his name, period. But I got a really sweet, and I think I showed you and Brandon the Wolverine sketch.
Mm-hmm.
Beautiful Wolverine sketch for $5. Beautifully colored and everything, and I felt like telling him, dude, you shouldn't be charging $5 for these sketches. These are too good.
You know, there were a lot of new guys drawing that were good. I mean, I saw like a beautiful Green Arrow picture. I mean, I see people in that con, I see people that I know could be working at Marvel and DC in the coming years.
Man, Daryl, you gotta see, and you know, I try to pimp him whenever I talk about good art, but I don't know if I've showed you in my sketchbook, but the Travis Earle's secret that I have.
Travis.
I don't think I've seen. You didn't show
Which
me.
Which one
that.
Is that one?
Travis Earle. That was the watercolor one. The one near the end of my sketchbook.
What was it?
Secret from Young Justice.
Oh. Yeah. That's a good one. Yeah. You showed me on the train.
Right. Yeah, because I mean that's what cons are really all about, you know, finding guys that you know are passionate about the world of comics and really just want to be in it, and they got to start somewhere. So where else are you going to start other than, you know, getting a table at Artist Alley and hoping for the best?
Definitely, you know, Travis is always a fantastic, just not just a fantastic artist, but a fantastic person also.
Yeah, and I heard that they're going to try and make it to New York Comic Con in 2010. So nice. I'm going to be hoping, crossing my fingers.
Is it bigger, better, and has more space?
Probably. Wouldn't be surprised.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, wait, go ahead.
If it's going to be October of 2010, I'm pretty sure it's going to be pretty huge.
Yeah.
Wait, October?
It's bigger. That's going to be overwhelming.
Yeah, October.
Yeah, it will.
October, Brandon.
When's Super Show this year, then?
September.
Okay.
Yeah.
I thought Super Show was in March.
No, excuse me, March. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
Yeah, I keep forgetting that. It's the hell's the other one? Pittsburgh is in September.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
Yeah, that's why they moved it in the first place.
Yeah. It's gonna be I decided. Well, I've always been doing this. Every time there's a con, like me, I'm the cosplayer here, you know. And I decided that I'm gonna stick to this. If I cosplay, if it's a 3-day con, I'm just gonna do one, because it's annoying.
Yes.
Oh, thank God.
Thanks. Thank you.
No, not that. I mean, it's cosplayers in general. I remember when we were in Florida, we had on with me and Anna, it was on R4, we had the Avatar cosplayers.
Oh, yes. Okay, but you see, this was kind of hilarious because they actually had their kingdom symbols on the doors to their hotel rooms. So they had the Earth Kingdom on one, and the Fire Nation on the other, and the water tribe I think was on one of the other ones.
Mm-hmm. but not only were they the Avatar cosplayers, they were also the Naruto and also Bleach cosplayers as well.
Yeah,
yeah.
See, if you're gonna pick a series to cosplay, just stick one and go with it, please.
They had multiple personality disorder. What can I say?
Really, really.
I figure I'll go through all of the cons that I was at recently, and I guess Anime Boston and Anime Next are two of them.
I have nothing to say about Anime Boston.
Well, okay. Since you have nothing to say about it, I'll ask you one thing about it, and then we could just move on from there. Do you think it's at least going in a direction where it'll be around for a few years, or what?
I think it's going to be around no matter what happens, because there aren't any other major cons in that area of the United States.
Mm-hmm.
Because the closest con to that is PortCon, which is small and it has some of the crappiest guest lineups I have ever seen.
Yeah, it's pretty sad.
Well, with PortCon, if you want an insider's perspective...
Well, that's why you're here. This is Chris, by the way. You should be familiar with her voice by now. She's been on a couple times.
Funny.
Yeah.
Basically, sometimes with the guests for PortCon, mm-hmm. like some of them are these really crappy webcomic artists
yeah.
who they want in the artist alley and to do panels and workshops.
Mm-hmm.
But then they're like, oh, well, I won't do a panel unless you make me a guest. And then PortCon does it.
Because PortCon gives in to everybody's demands?
It's because PortCon is in Maine and nobody goes to Maine unless they have to. And every listener you have in Maine is going to kill me now.
And yet, I'm sure they probably are also at the same time saying, yeah, you're right, you're half right. You're half right.
Hey, Maine has its points. It has what?
Well, I've been to Maine. It's a very, very nice place. And Portland seems like a very nice place. It's not that big, and it's out of the way.
It has lighthouses and French people.
That's about it. I can't really describe it in any other way. Like, I mean, my description of Boston this year was, thank God they actually, cleared up the whole registration thing. It was nice to be able to go in and out.
But we weren't there early because of the bus incident, if Ian wants to describe the bus incident.
Well, it's not exactly a bus incident, more like a traffic disaster. We were sitting in the middle of... Oh, Madonna has something to say about Michael Jackson's death. Okay.
Let's
yeah. Show. Now you know when we're recording this. Michael Jackson just died. A couple of hours ago. We were sitting in the middle of Connecticut for about... What, 3 hours without moving?
I don't know. I was busy throwing up.
Yeah, that was an unrelated incident. Okay, no. Somewhat related because the bus driver kept going start, stop, start, stop, start, stop whenever he had the opportunity. It's supposed to actually standing still.
Well, standing still, or you're supposed to ease on the brake and ease off of it, and some people don't do that. Like my father.
Yeah. And that's when you first had your incidents of, getting car sick was because of that, right?
I don't know.
Yeah.
But
yeah, we didn't really get there until, what, like 5:30, 6 o'clock?
6 o'clock. Registration was actually pretty empty by then, so I can't tell you what it was like in the morning.
Yeah.
But they computerized a lot more, except to the point, unlike last year where they were asking people to type in their info, here they had actual barcode system set up, so yeah. I think they processed people a lot faster.
From what I heard, the same guys who do like San Diego Comic-Con and everything, they actually hired, so that's pretty cool. The same company behind their stuff.
I wouldn't know, as I've never registered for San Diego, like a plebe.
Yes, and I've been to San Diego twice, and I've had a press pass both times.
You've only been there once.
This is the second time right now. I signed up for press again.
Yeah, but I'm just saying, you haven't been there yet. For all you know, you could, like, die in a horrible plane crash, knock on wood.
This is not lost, okay? I'll be perfectly fine.
Unless you're not.
Yeah, and then someone can go back and, like, clip this out of an episode and be like, yeah, he didn't even know he was going to die. He thought he'd be perfectly fine.
So, fun random fact, I read on CNN today that some woman is bitching at U.S. Airways because she was in the Hudson flight.
Uh-huh.
And they don't want to pay for her and her children's therapy.
Yeah, it was a very grueling ordeal.
Yeah, she's like, oh, nobody my God, died. It was so traumatizing when the water started coming in and I had to take my baby son and I had to lift him over the seat. And U.S. Airways pays is paying for three therapy sessions for all of the passengers, which mm-hmm. is more than they're actually legally obligated to do.
Yeah.
And the fact is, did you hear about what they did with the belongings?
No, I didn't.
Everything that was on the plane has been returned to people.
Okay.
They basically kind of froze it and slowly thawed it out
mm-hmm.
in such a way that nothing was damaged.
Oh, good.
And it all came in little boxes with little pieces of tissue paper between everything. Everyone got whatever they had on the plane back. Books, mm-hmm. electronics, even though most of the electronics are ruined because of the water.
Yeah.
Unless you had cash, nobody got American cash back.
Okay.
Though one guy did get his British pounds back.
Yay.
Even though it was in his wallet with his American money.
So wait, so they took the American money, but they gave him back the pounds.
They're investigating that because it looks like somebody stole all the money, but... Because some woman was like, yeah, I got my 43 cents back, but not my $200.
Well, this reminds me a little bit of this story that came out like a few days ago.
How Sharpton is on MTV now.
Yeah, let's ignore that. With the new iPhone 3GS, they have with the new feature where if you have like a My, whatever the name of it is, like Back to My Mac or whatever, whatever the name of their cloud service is, you can actually, like when you lose your iPhone, you can ping it back. Oh my God, why are they showing him with an afro? Oh, because he's with Michael Jackson.
Yes.
What
a great photo. And there's Janet on the side.
Oh wow, that's pretty awesome. But anyway, yeah, they're
distracting.
They're My Mac or whatever. You can actually find your iPhone when it's lost.
That's
and
cool.
This one guy tracked it down. He lost it at a bar. He tracked it down to this neighborhood in like this Puerto Rican neighborhood, and he actually was able to follow the guy as he was walking, and then went up to him and was like, "Do you have my phone?"
Mm-hmm.
And his response was, yeah, I worked at the bar. I was going to give it back to you. Yeah, right. Bullshit. He was going to go sell it somewhere, I'm sure.
Don't assume the worst.
Yeah, I know.
You're assuming the worst.
But anyway.
Racist.
Let's get back to talking about conventions. Okay? Uh-huh. Yeah. Anime Boston was not exactly that exciting. However, I made a good time out of it. And we didn't do any panels or anything. But I'm probably not going back next year.
I don't know what I'm going to do next year. It seems like it's going to be a big con for years to come, but it's kind of a pain in the ass to get to, but not as much of a pain in the ass as Anime Next.
Yes, it is, and Penny Arcade Expo East is going to be happening a week before it next year.
Yeah, so we might go to that instead.
But, yes.
Boston, but just one word about Boston, mm-hmm. the problem with them is that they are trying to be like the Anime Expo of the East Coast.
Yeah.
And I mean, that's in spite of the fact that we already have Otakon, and Otakon's at like 22,000 right now.
Right. But I mean, Otakon's Otakon. That's like separate. You know, they don't have
Otakon
to pretend.
Well, Otakon is 8 hours away from Boston.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, that's a long ass drive.
Yeah. Although is it closer to Boston for us?
It's 4 hours to get to Boston mm-hmm. from New York. It is...
Oh, like 3.5?
3.5 to get to Baltimore. It's 4 hours to go to Washington, D.C.
Okay.
I mean, that's assuming good traffic, and that maybe, possibly, your bus driver breaks a few speed limits.
Yes. Which usually does happen.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, all right, let's move on to Anime Next, or as I call it, the con in the middle of nowhere. So they moved to a new place because the last one, the hotels weren't cooperating, and the Metal Heads Convention Center, I know, like went up in price and everything. So they wanted to save some cash, and they wanted to go to a place where they wouldn't have to worry about like fighting with anybody.
They wanted to go to a place where they would fit because that's what they keep telling us. And you can't deny that they were outgrowing the Meadowlands Exposition Center.
Yeah.
Don't call it the Convention Center.
Meadowlands Yes.
The names actually mean something.
MEC. MEC. Yeah.
I mean, they were outgrowing it, but... The biggest problem probably was the hotels.
Yeah.
Because it was becoming harder for them to negotiate with the hotels, mm-hmm. that they were putting up the hotels later every year.
Yeah.
And it does cost more to do it in Secaucus. You're not far, you're in near the Meadowlands. So.
Right. I mean, the only benefit being that, New Yorkers can actually get there.
Which means they actually get more people. This is why it's a weird cost-benefit analysis, because you get a lot of people
mm-hmm.
going to Secaucus, because it's only a 20-minute bus ride from the Port Authority. It only costs about $2.60, $2.80.
Pretty much.
It's pretty cheap. So you kind of make up whatever you're paying in costs to get that location, you kind of make it up with your attendance rates. But then they switch to this new place, the Garden State Exhibit Center, which is in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah.
And Ian's heard me note this a bunch of times is that it's so far out that they're probably getting less people, which means that the number of people they got at the Exhibit Center is probably would have fit comfortably within the Meadowlands Exposition Center.
Yes, but the only problem being that even if they would have been there, the hotels probably wouldn't have played game. Yeah. You know, so it's a damned if you do, damned if you don't situation.
You really don't know, because, I mean, as much as I love a lot of the people who work at Anime Next,
mm-hmm.
I admit there's still a lot of kinks in their system. There's a high turnover rate among the staff. There's a lot of not just turnover, but just outright ditching of mm-hmm. staff duties.
Yeah.
Because security staff, from what I heard, was severely depleted because a lot of people didn't show up for duty.
Which would explain why some of the security staff was so lackadaisical about, like, checking badges and stuff.
Lackadaisical, and why you always end up with cranky staffers.
Yeah.
Anime Next has, this is a reputation. This is no longer just the isolated incident. They have a reputation for cranky staffers. Mm-hmm. I remember in 2004 when people reamed into the staff, and it turns out there were only like 7 total security staff.
Oh, jeez.
And they were working the entire weekend,
Holy crap.
You know, why they were screaming at people after a while.
That's crazy. 7 for an entire con?
Yeah. I heard that directly from them because Saturday night, whoever wasn't on duty
mm-hmm.
had a party and I was there and they got really smashed because they were very upset. So.
And they were willing to share all their dirty secrets?
One girl in particular was very, very smashed. I'm not going to name names.
Yeah.
I don't even think she's on staff anymore.
Okay. All right. But
I'm sure now people are going to be like, oh my God, I know who it is. I can't believe you revealed our secrets.
Eh, it's a comic book crowd. They ain't
she's not on staff
anything.
Anymore. That's all I know, I think, because I haven't seen her at the conventions for the past couple of years.
Oh, good. So okay.
Maybe she's, you know, moved on.
Yeah. And I mean, I didn't really have that many problems with the staff except for one staffer in particular for the American Animation panel that we were going to do.
The wussy staffer?
Yes, the one that seemed to have no balls whatsoever. Yeah. Now, I understand that it's your first time, you know, as a staffer, but when your job is to get panelists off of the dais or whatever you want to call it, the stage to end it, get them off the stage and end it.
Yeah.
But whatever. I mean, it wasn't that big of a deal. I mean, I had really no major issues with the staffers.
With the panel starting late, it was annoying, but you know, I think we were able to wrap it up on time so that it got back on schedule, because that is one of the things that does kill a convention,
mm-hmm.
is that you get the, you know, it starts to roll over. Like, this panel ends 5 minutes late, the next mm-hmm. panel ends 10 minutes late, and then by the time you get to 10 p.m. or 11 p.m., everything's like a half an hour late.
Right. I mean, luckily, the guy after us didn't seem to have an hour's worth of material anyway, so he was like, all right, whatever.
Yeah, he ran short. I saw that on the forums.
Oh, okay, cool.
He even admitted, he said that next time he has to, like, he thinks he knows what he can do better next time. He seemed like a nice guy.
Yeah.
But he was very soft-spoken, and he was doing role-playing 101, so I thought it was kind of an odd fit.
So let's talk about the lack of sidewalks a little bit. I mean, we stayed at the Courtyard Marriott.
We're in Penn right now.
Yes. With Ruby Tuesdays attached to it, Woot. But actually getting from the courtyard to the convention center was a pain in the ass.
On the side of what is basically like a Office Park service road.
Yeah.
And it was raining, you know, for most of that weekend, so mm-hmm. we had to go through the mud a few times.
Fun.
But, no sidewalks, and the cars do tend to speed through those things, because it's an office park. Mm-hmm. I mean, if I was driving through an office park, I wouldn't exactly be taking a leisurely, you know, drive either.
Yeah.
But what I don't understand is how you can build an office park that has an exhibit center in it, and presumably people would go to events at this exhibit center and stay in the nearby hotels, but there's no sidewalks to the other hotels. I guess they assume everyone's going to stay at the DoubleTree,
which
is connected.
But there are other hotels. I mean, why else would you be staying at a hotel there?
I noticed some kids with lacrosse sticks, so mm-hmm. they were probably competing nearby. But okay. They were obviously driving from the hotel to whatever their lacrosse match was.
Yeah.
Lacrosse, the sport of douchebags.
Yeah.
And I've just pissed off whatever listeners you had left.
That's okay. It's fine. They're comic book fans. They don't play lacrosse. And I just pissed them off even farther. But, yeah. But still, I mean, come on. If you have a convention, an exhibit center, not a convention center, I'll correct myself, you know, nearby, it would be nice to have some sort of sidewalks. It was good that they had some policemen at least, like, stopping us from getting run over.
Yeah, but they weren't there all the time. They were kind of just token policemen. It's not like when you go to San Diego Comic-Con and the cops are there from the moment the convention opens to when it closes, yeah. directing traffic, because if they didn't have those cops, nobody would get anywhere in San Diego. It's right. ridiculous how crowded the streets get.
Yeah. Con itself, smallest the dealer's room has ever been.
No, the dealer's room is not small. You mean sparsely populated.
That's what I meant, yes.
Size-wise, I would say it definitely was bigger. It was roomier.
Mm-hmm.
They basically were able to stretch out, make bigger aisles, so you didn't have those kind of clusters of people, you know, blocking the aisles. But they had fewer dealers, which I'm thinking is an economy thing more than anything else.
Mm-hmm.
I think the new location might have added into it, because I'm sure a struggling dealer is going to look and say, okay, this is in the middle of nowhere, few people are going to go, so why am I going to take the time and money to go to this convention where I'm probably going to have very little return?
Right, and Otakon's not too far away, so I'm sure a bunch of people probably just said what's
some of them
for.
Probably went to Boston.
That's true,
remember,
yeah.
It's always the same dealers.
Mm-hmm.
You tend to suffer when there's two conventions in the same area. It's not just attendees that they lose. It is dealers, because dealers, you know, they have lives, too. They have families they want to spend time with and sleep they want to get. So...
one of the guys I was talking to at New York Comic Con was talking about that, how with the change in the date to November, he had no idea if he was actually going to be able to do New York Comic Con next year, even though he had done New York Comic Con every other time.
Yeah.
Because, you know, it just doesn't
work for him.
I think
they'll make time for New York Comic Con, as long as it's not Thanksgiving weekend.
Yeah.
People will make time for it.
Which it's not going to be. Because
you'll make the sales back. It doesn't matter. That can be your entire quarter if you play your cards right.
Yeah.
Just like San Diego is the sales point for a lot of dealers.
Hell yeah. The only things that actually took place in the actual exhibit center were registration, main events, and the dealer's room. That's it.
Yeah, so when they talk about how they have more space, they didn't really add that much more space because all of the panels and stuff were in the hotel.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah.
I mean, I don't really... That exhibit center itself didn't add a lot. And... You said it was a 2,000 square foot increase?
Yeah, it was a difference of 2,000 square feet. I looked up the actual dimensions for both of them, and I think it was like 6,100 versus like 6,300.
It's made up, but the thing is, though, is that all that square footage basically went into the entryway of the exhibit center, mm-hmm. which was a nice, big, wide entryway with actual, like, cashier windows, which I thought was very good, because that was their cash-only windows, too.
Yeah.
I wouldn't say that helped... But I think it's good policy, because I don't like when you go to conventions and it's very loosey-goosey with the money.
It was nice, though. I didn't see one complaint about registration on the forums. Like
they never really
negatives.
Have issues with registration at MNX. They kind of, like, know what they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
But, a lot of the space, I think, went towards that entryway. And then you walk in and there was, like, bleachers in that area where people were just kind of goofing around. I think it was just called the arena on the map.
Mm-hmm.
So that was a lot of space, too. I mean, they really did not... They set it up just like they set it up in the Meadowlands, so mm-hmm. I did not see a significant improvement.
Yeah, the only difference is that, you know, there was no Artist Alley. They had to worry about that, because Artist Alley was in the actual hotel.
And that was a terrible idea.
Oh, yeah. It wasn't a terrible idea to hold the actual real Artist Alley in the room that they did. The bad idea was to actually populate
the overflow tables in the hallway.
Yeah, which was not a good idea, because they put it in the same hallway as the hallway for panels 1 and 2, the biggest panel rooms, and that choked it up.
Yeah, that was a poor decision, especially... As we've walked around that hotel, and the upstairs was actually very empty.
Mm-hmm.
So there was space for them to put those tables.
Oh, yeah.
I think part of the problem was that some of the tables that were in that hallway, like one of them was one of the guests.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was like Dave Lister.
Yeah.
And like I said, guests, you can get... First of all, I mean, I don't even know who Dave Lister is. I mean, it was the blue and blonde dude. I've seen his table at Artist Alley, but I would never say, oh, look, that's a great guest to have at a con.
It's that dude.
It seems more like it was another one of those, I'll totally do that workshop or panel and make me a guest. And so they do that. Plus, it looks more impressive the more guests you can actually list on your list. There's nothing against Dave. His Pokemon event was very successful from what I hear.
Yes, over-successful, actually, to the point where the fire marshals have basically forced them into a room because they were crowding up the hallway.
Well, they were already in a room.
Well, what I'm saying...
They switched rooms for the Pokemon event. It was supposed to be in panel 4,
mm-hmm.
but because it was obvious too many people were going to show up, they threw them into panel one, yeah. And what was in panel one, you know, as Ian can attest, because he was there, was Anime Parliament 18+.
Yeah, which is the first time he was ever doing it that way. For those of you who don't know what Anime Parliament is, it's basically a court where you get to bring up cases against,
it's,
like, anime characters.
It's a cosplay
characters.
Court, and yes, yeah. There is an event called Cosplay Court, but it's basically role-playing in a way, but mm-hmm. You don't necessarily have to be a character.
Or a cosplayer.
Yeah.
Which is good.
It helps, though, because it's funnier when someone is actually dressed like the character that they're bringing a case as.
Yeah. What, one other comment I want to make about the place, it's really weird that the Doubletree has rooms on the second floor, like, right down the hall from where the some of the
guest
rooms were.
You mean.
Yeah, like real guest rooms where people sleep.
Which is terrible, but it happens with smaller hotels. Big hotels don't have that issue, but... Oh, look, Miley Cyrus via Twitter. Michael Jackson was my inspiration, love, and blessings.
John Mayer via Twitter. Dazed in the studio. A major strand of our cultural DNA has left.
R.I.P.
MJ. I think we'll mourn his loss as well. Blah, blah, blah. Okay, all right, whatever.
No, the loss of ourselves listening to Thriller on the record player.
Yeah.
Wow, way to sound old, John Mayer.
Oh, dear. What's a record player?
Yeah, that's what I mean.
Yeah.
It's called a turntable. Hello.
Well, Anime Parliament 18+, I think, actually sort of benefited from the small room.
It benefited, but at the same time, a lot of people couldn't get in,
yeah.
Which is always an issue, because Adam, you know, the guy who runs it, was very upset, because he was like, oh my god, I'm going to have to turn so many people away.
Yeah.
I would say it wasn't more than 20, but that's still 20 people who probably
right.
could have had fun, and that made him feel bad.
And ironic that he was the one in charge of actually, you know, programming the panels and
yeah.
stuff. But that's another issue.
That's Adam's issues with Anime Next that he's
right.
going to have to sort out.
Yeah, I mean, we won't get into any of the behind-the-scenes details right
now.
Not
this
that.
Year,
yeah,
anyway.
No.
We can bash on previous years, because it's always fun.
Yeah, I mean, how do you think our panels won?
I thought our panels were okay. I no longer want to do the video game panel, because
yeah.
I'm not credible enough. As I don't know if Ian told you the sad, sad story of my past week.
No, it hasn't been shared on the air yet.
You're free to tell people.
All right, well, Chris is basically, she just got over the swine flu or whatever.
It's unconfirmed.
Yeah, unconfirmed swine flu, so basically just a flu, but she might have very well have caught it at Anime Next.
Yeah, so that's, apparently Anime Next, a lot of people got sick at,
mm-hmm.
including a few who got the swine flu. I do not know if I had the swine flu. Doctor said it was likely, but he declined to test me for it.
Yeah.
However, while I was home, you know, listening, you know, getting emails from people freaking out at work about how they were all going to die. Oh no, the piggy flu.
You were catching up on PS2 games.
I was playing, yeah, Suikoden M5. But, like I said, that's the thing is, I haven't played a console game in probably over a year.
Mm-hmm.
The last one I played was Super Smash Bros. Brawl, and I haven't even finished that.
Yeah.
And before that, it was... God, I don't know. It could have been Zelda when it came out on the Wii in 2006.
Well, damn.
Wait, that was late 2006.
It was 06, yeah.
Yeah, I bought Final Fantasy XII in 07
and
never
played
it. Yeah, it's still in a shrink wrap. Ian laughs at me.
I know. Well, I got it for $20
but
at Toys R Us. $10, actually.
Yeah, going back to the panels, I don't think I'm credible. Like, I mostly play handheld games now because I can play them on the subway, so
yeah.
I don't want to do that. But I think our other three panels were good, and... You all should come to Anime Next.
Yeah.
Listen to us do panels.
Because, I mean, it's weird of me to say this, because, again, we've sort of been, like, really going on the negatives. I mean, but there were plenty of positives about the con. I mean, it had a very nice atmosphere to it.
Depends on what you would say atmosphere. Because
okay.
I think there was, like, it was good because there was a lot of space.
Mm-hmm.
And that everyone seemed to be on the same ground. Almost everybody was in the same, like, arena when it came to, this place sucks.
Yeah.
You have to walk in the street. Oh, I could take the shuttle back to New Brunswick.
And then do New Brunswick stuff.
Yeah. Like, oh. Everyone was on the same level there.
Yeah. Shuttle, by the way, I'd love to have some more shuttles on Friday, because that was a little inconvenient.
Well,
because
it stops running for, like, 3 or 4 hours, which
yeah.
kind of sucked. I mean, I think the shuttle system needs to be worked out a bit better,
I agree.
Period.
Yeah.
I mean, they were good. I don't know about atmosphere. That's the funny thing, is because previous anime, I've always got the feeling like some of the anime. Well, first of all, anime fans are getting way too young.
Yes.
They're getting younger and younger. And that's, I mean, it's good to get new blood in, but the new blood is teaching, like, when they become slightly less new blood, they're teaching the new blood bad habits. Because the older fans are fine, but some of the younger fans are very ill-mannered, as, you know, if you looked at the grounds
oh my
of
God.
The courtyard, like Saturday morning and then Sunday morning. I mean, there was trash everywhere.
Yeah, I mean, this was one of the slobbiest cons I've ever been to.
They've had that problem at previous Anime Next too, because everyone likes to cite the Holiday Inn lawn. Holiday Inn in Secaucus was very popular for the cosplayers. Even if they didn't stay in the hotel, they liked to go out to the yard and strut around and take pictures, because it was kind of like a big field of grass that was slightly inclined like a hill. There were some trees, and it was nice. It wasn't the greatest thing in the world, but it was a place where cosplayers went. And last year, it was disgusting. And I've heard that that's one of the reasons why they had to change locations, because the Holiday Inn, which used to be the con hotel, just did not want them.
Yeah, and I mean, that was a problem with the embassy also, because the embassy didn't want them either.
The embassy is weird, because the embassy never had any actual issues like, say, the Holiday Inn did. The embassy just kind of up and decided, we don't want these noisy kids having their parties.
Actually, the parties were one, and I think the year before they did have some problems with the video game rooms being hosted there.
Maybe.
If memory serves, there were a couple of things that were brought up that didn't exactly work out well.
I know they changed the rooms at the last minute, which I thought was odd, because why would it be the last minute? Why would you even agree to it in the first place?
Right. Going back to what you were saying, though, about like the older fans teaching them bad habits, at least there are older fans, which is why I think I don't want to go to Anime Boston anymore, because it seems like it's just younger fans.
I don't know how many phases you could put in the fans, because we have the kids who are, like, in... Well, you have the very young kids in elementary, but not so many because their parents would have to accompany them, but mostly junior high and high school kids. And you have the college kids. Those are the ones I think I say when I say slightly older, the slightly less shiny new fans.
Yeah.
And, I mean, I could just be projecting, because I look at them and they seem ill-mannered compared to, say, me and my own ilk when I was in college, but I could just be saying, I'm nine, eh? The kids were so much well-behaved. But then you look at, then you have, like, the people in their 20s, you know, mid to late 20s, which is, you know, me and Ian at this point. And then you have the old school guys. Anybody who's, like, over the age of 35 at an anime con is old school.
Yeah.
Even if you're not, I mean, if you're 36, you're not actually that old, but in terms of anime conventions now, you're getting on in years. Yeah. It's a little ridiculous.
Which is funny, because in comic conventions, that's the average comic.
Well, with other conventions, comic conventions are probably still in their mid-30s, which is another thing that one of the problems that comics are having nowadays, I think, is that their fan base is aging, and they're not grabbing the new readers fast enough. They try to do young reader books and stuff, and then it's only partially successful.
Right.
So, but yeah, the fan base is aging, and they just kind of don't want to accept it. Instead, he thinks it's, you know, Joe Quesada thinks it's better to have Peter not be married anymore.
Hey, as long as it makes Jaime Reyes a popular character with the kiddies, that makes me happy. Yeah.
But, then you have science fiction fandom, which, from what I'm told, I've never gone to an actual dedicated science fiction convention. The only thing I've ever done are creation cons, which, you know, anyone who knows, like, Star Trek fandom is probably laughing their asses off at me right now. Science fiction fandom is very old, from what I've, you know, been told. Like, you look at, like, Lunacon is our local science fiction convention, and they've been going on for, like, 40 years. And there are people in their 40s, 50s, 60s, and they're just going to keep getting older and older.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, not to totally change the subject here, but I've been thinking about this a lot lately, is that science fiction fandom, for people whose main interest is books and shows, well, books mostly, but books and comics and movies and shows about the future are so stuck in the past. Mm-hmm. If you ever looked at the page for Worldcon, and I don't mean a particular Worldcon, like you could look at Balticon or whoever's hosting Worldcon that year, and they'll have a middling page. But you look at the actual page for Worldcon.org, and it's terrible. It's like so 1995.
Web 0.5, not even 1.0.
It's awful. And then, I mean, but even the websites for conventions like Icon are nothing really impressive design-wise.
Yeah.
They're not really hip with the web. And I have a friend of mine, Mae Young, you've met her, the designer. Mm-hmm. She once, like, before they had the Worldcon in Japan, she said it was going to be weird because, you know, the Worldcon fan base, the science fiction fan base, is so old and kind of old media.
Mm-hmm.
While they're going to Japan, which is kind of like thought as the capital of new media. These are people who are, there are going to be cameras everywhere.
Oh, wow.
And computers and technology. I really have no idea how that went because I wasn't there. I know they had the really awesome customize Hugo with the I forgot what character you saw. Mm-hmm. You know what a Hugo looks like.
Yeah.
You saw the one for Yokohama?
Yes, yeah. I did. Yeah.
It was, you know, I don't know the character, but I just know it was some one of the Sentai shows or like the superhero shows.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like, you know, he's standing there with his hands on his hips next to the Hugo rocket.
Typical heroic pose.
Yeah, it was a really cool looking award. I really wish I was a science fiction writer who wrote something really good that year, because that would have been awesome on a mantelpiece.
Hell yeah, yeah.
But I think that's still reflected when you look at science fiction fandom and Lunacon and why it, like, and it's funny, actually, now it kind of all comes back, because you think about if Japan is the future,
mm-hmm.
let's not even go into whether that's true or not. But if you think of Japan as more technology oriented, then it makes sense that they have the more modernized looking web pages. And then as a result, they have the younger fan base.
Yeah.
So there we go. I just tied it all together. I'm just superior.
It works. Yay, yay, yay. And I mean, even talking about it, like, even the websites for the anime conventions usually are at least easier to navigate than a lot of the other, like, cons, from what I've found, at least.
Some of them are definitely better designed than a lot of convention websites.
Mm-hmm.
They're still not great. You're not going to have anything as good as, say, you know, the professional sign-up pages for stuff like New York Comic Con, which is, again, read exhibitions.
Yeah.
They have this down with science, because that's what they do for a living. Comic Con, you know, International, that's, you know, they've been running for 30, 40 years at this point.
Mm-hmm.
God, when did they start? 1970 what?
70, was it 72?
Or? I don't know. Could have been even earlier. Again, people are going to be, like, laughing at us. Like, you guys are so stupid. I have seen glitches on AnimeCon web pages, and they, like, I laugh so hard sometimes.
Bringing it back to Anime Next, though, Anime Next website has actually gotten a lot better over the past couple
years. It's better,
but
it still kind of sucks.
Yeah. But,
it was down. It wasn't this year. It was last year.
Last year, yeah.
During Sakura Matsuri, mm-hmm. it had been down for several days.
Yes.
That was pretty embarrassing.
That was around when they did the big upgrade and actually made it look like it does now.
Yeah, it looks a little better. It's still kind of dry. It's very early 21st century. I mean, mm-hmm. yes, we're still in the early 21st century, but the early aughts, early OOs.
In the year 2000.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, let's talk some positives for the con, and then I guess we can sort of wrap this up a little bit, because we, you know, we went into what we didn't like, so what did we like?
I think the hotel is very beautiful. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's... I can't say, you know, thank the con for that, but at least, you know, they picked a hotel that was pleasant to be in.
Yeah.
Had a lot of space. The panel rooms were actually pretty nice.
I really liked the panel rooms,
when they weren't, you know, crammed full of people, more people than they could handle. The pathway between the convention center and the hotel, I can't actually praise that.
That was a positive and the negative, because on Friday it was really, really nice, but then after that...
Until you had a lot of people walking and the ground started to stink.
Yeah, and this just in, a walkway is not a place for you to take your damn pictures, okay?
Yeah, but that's always been a convention problem. That was another problem with the lack of security, because mm-hmm. the security staffer should have been there to kick people out.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I kind of lost it and started yelling at some people, saying, dude, you should have gotten up earlier and done this before anybody was here, and they told me to eat more fiber. So
yeah, which is a lovely response.
I eat plenty of fiber.
I can vouch for that. And you know, I'll tell this story. I did like making one artist alley person hopefully feel better.
You wouldn't have known anything if I had pointed out to you.
Okay, I was attracted to something, and hey, I'll even relate to the comics. I didn't really like most of the artist alley, but then again, I don't like really much anime artist alleys anyway.
I hate artist alleys.
Well, specifically anime artist alleys, because comic book artist alleys, I'm sort of okay.
Can I just make that divergence? I think people, I don't know if they're familiar with anime cons or not, but...
Some people will be, other people will not.
Every year, this is not a behind-the-scenes thing, because anyone who knows Anime Boston knows this. Every year, the Anime Boston artist alley is Tedrama.
Yeah.
They have every artist alley, they have a limited number of spaces to give to people. The Anime Boston Artist Alley sells out literally in minutes from when it opens.
Mm-hmm.
And then the bitching begins. People spend the next couple of weeks to months bitching about, oh my god, they're such a good artist, they should be given a spot in the artist alley. Oh my god, they need the artist alley, otherwise they're not going to meet their business projections for the quarter or whatever. I'm sorry, but if your business model is dependent on you having a table at a crappy anime convention,
then you're screwed.
You have a bad business model.
I agree.
But Yeah, it's just, it's such a source of drama, and there's so much entitlement, which is one of the reasons I hate going to the artist alley, because I'm sitting there, and these people, I know that half of them are just smug bastards that think they're all that, but their art isn't that great.
Mm-hmm.
And they think that they're entitled to a table in the artist alley.
Yeah.
And of course, we know that artist alleys come from comic conventions, and they started in comic conventions basically in, oh, I'm an artist, there's an empty table over there, I'm gonna just draw some sketches to kill time. Hey, dude, can I have one of your sketches? Okay. Hey, can I charge you $1? Okay. And it just kind of escalated from there. Artist alleys are really just there as a courtesy to the artist.
Yes.
To, like, so that they don't end up, like, walking around and people assaulting them for autographs or for portfolio check. It's just to give the artist, to be, they're the lifeblood of, you know, the comics industry,
mm-hmm.
to be just be like, oh, here's a thanks. So you can have a cheap table in a corner, and that'll get people to come to the con. And it's a nice thing. But it is not a privilege. Plus, it never will be a privilege. Yeah.
Plus, with comic conventions, it's a nice way for the indie guys to actually, you know, have their space and not have to pay for a dealer's room.
Yeah. Table. But that's a problem, because those are the people that end up thinking of it as a right, not a privilege.
Yeah.
Never forget that it is a privilege that the comic convention affords you. And that's the problem that Anime Boston and probably some other anime cons mm-hmm. have, is that people think of it as a right, not a privilege.
Right.
They don't have to put an artist alley in.
Certainly
people
not.
Are still going to go to the convention, even if there's no artist alley. That space could be used as dealer space. The convention would make money, and you'd still go if you were going to the convention, because there'd be more dealers.
And it was basically the same old thing at Anime Next. Like, almost every single, like, artist in the place was selling the exact same characters and everything.
It's
and,
like that all the time, yeah. though. It's like they glomp onto whatever's popular, and you right. have to. You have to appeal to the little kiddies,
yeah.
because the kiddies will go for what's hot.
And I found one artist in the artist alley that was actually selling a couple of prints of Fables, like, mock cover that she had done up, and a couple of Constantine things and stuff like that. So I was immediately drawn to it. I'm like,
except he was too busy looking at the art to notice that the girl was on the phone weeping hysterically.
Screaming, please, please! And once I actually did notice that,
well,
thanks
because
to Chris,
I grabbed you and went, we're leaving now.
And I did, however, go back afterwards and, you know,
I told you to.
No, not even just because of that. I was considering doing it anyway.
Uh-huh. He's going to claim that.
Yes, I am, for my own sake. And you know, I actually bought the Fables one, and it was very pretty, so I'm happy it did. And hopefully I gave her at least a little bit of a smile, because she was a good artist and probably one of the only good artists in the thing, in my honest opinion. But whatever. Overall, they have some growing pains to still get over. They got to actually make this place appealing to the everyday person, as opposed to someone who already had been to Anime Next previously. You know, I mean, Jerseyites who actually get in their car and stuff are going to go to it, but they still have to make this at least somewhat appealing to the New Yorkers, because New Yorkers will go and spend money on things if they can. And nobody's really going to go all the way out to New Brunswick and then take a shuttle or a cab.
Well, nobody likes anything. The biggest problem with the location was the fact that there's no New Jersey transit routes to go out there.
Yes.
No train, no bus. You put the address in on the New Jersey Transit website, and it laughs at you.
Yes.
That's not a good thing. New Jersey Transit is actually not horrible. I mean, okay, now all the New Jersey listeners you have are probably laughing their ass off at me, but as a New Yorker who lives with this 24-hour system, I can honestly say New Jersey Transit is actually pretty good.
I would agree with that.
Having been to other places.
Yes. I mean, considering that it got me to Philly, you know, in 3 hours, you know, without traffic, that's certainly fun.
Well, there's also SEPTA. You connect to SEPTA mm-hmm. as well.
At traffic. Yeah.
I mean, I've taken public transit in Boston and in Silver Spring, Maryland, and, you know, it's like, you know, when you're waiting for a bus that never comes, you know, you become incredibly grateful for, like, the piss stank of, like, the R train in New York.
Yes, yes.
Apparently, the R is the dirtiest train, according to the Straphangers campaign.
That's not surprising at all, considering that I now take the R on a regular basis.
And part of it is the piss stank. I didn't even know of. That's a new thing to me.
Hello.
I'm used to the piss stink, but on the R train is all like commuters from Bay Ridge and Staten Island. Except I guess the demographics changed.
Yeah. But anyway, it's you know, it's the New Jersey Transit out to New Brunswick, and then you either need to hope that the shuttle's running or you take a cab straight shoot up, but it's still going to cost you $13.
That's how much it cost us. I've heard that that's actually a bit much for the ride.
Right.
But I don't really care because that's actually cheaper than I thought it was going to be.
Yeah. But still, I liked it better than Anime Boston, and I probably will go back next year.
It was a more pleasant environment.
Yes.
Anime Boston's always a bit hostile.
Yeah, and plus, Anime Next usually happens later on in the year, too, where I'm actually more willing to go to a con than Anime Boston. I'll probably just be happy not to be going to a con.
Yeah.
But, you know, there you go. Any other thoughts?
Well, we got Otakon in, what, 3 weeks?
3 weeks, yep.
And then the week after that is San Diego, so... I'm sure you're going to meet up with your other podcaster friends. I make fun of them all the time.
Yeah, probably. I mean, we'll probably have a dinner at some point during San Diego.
But, you know, he'll probably file some reports from there, I'm sure.
I'll have the thing with me, yeah. I mean, I'm not going to go, like, totally all out like I did 2 years ago, because really that was a pain in the ass.
Yeah.
But, you know, I'll try to get a couple interviews here and there and stuff, so. Yay, huzzah.
It's going to be crazy, actually. You know, we'll turn this into a slight preview of San Diego Comic-Con.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, in a world where you have people paying $600 for a 4-day pass.
Yeah, seriously, I was going to try to avoid cursing in this, but what the fuck, people? Come on. I mean, do you really need to be at a convention that frickin' hard?
It's not even a convention anymore. It's going to be a cattle drive.
Yeah.
We're going to be fenced in. I want to avoid Saturday because you know that's going to be the worst day. And the horrible part is that's when the Adult Swim panel will probably be.
Yeah, I know. Well, the Adult Swim panel, the DC panels are usually then, and usually there's one or two Marvel panels that I want to go to.
Yeah, but they're not all on Saturday. They actually space out their panels, like, one per day, major one per day. So you can go to the one on, like, Thursday and Friday, and then you just skip the one on Saturday. Mm-hmm. Sunday we'll probably... We have a late flight, don't we?
We do, yeah.
So, yeah, we can probably actually go to a panel on
Saturday. Hey, maybe I can actually win some prizes at the Marvel trivia thing if they do that again.
I do that all the time. I'm the only girl half the time.
Mjolnir, Mjolnir.
Ian will never live that down because he misspelled it because he's an idiot.
Yeah, but we're going to be in San Diego for the full week, and it'd be nice to go to the zoo on Tuesday and everything. So.
Yeah, or Legoland.
Huzzah.
Even though Legoland is for 5-year-olds, I don't care.
Oh, who cares, man? It's like going to Sesame Place. It's fun.
Sesame Place is only for 5-year-olds, though.
Yeah, but it's water park, so.
Yeah, but it's for, like, little kids after most of it.
That's why eventually when I was a camp counselor, I used to just take that day off and just not bother to go to Sesame Place with the rest of my camp. So avoid it on Saturday, and please stop spending $600 on a barcode.
I think it's definitely going to be interesting the next couple of years to see where San Diego goes, especially as they have to consider their space needs.
I mean, there are plans to expand the San Diego Convention Center, but that's going to take time. Yeah.
I already think it's interesting that some of the events aren't even going to be in the Convention Center anymore, like the Eisners.
Oh yeah, well I'm sort of happy about that. Like, I saw the setup for the hotel.
It's
gorgeous.
Good, because you know what? It's good because it gives the Eisners, like, it's a little special for them.
Mm-hmm.
But the cynic in me basically says they're kicking the Eisners out because it never fills the room and they want to use it for something else.
Which is funny because last year, apparently, you could not get into the Eisners.
That makes no sense because that room, there must have been nothing going on at the time.
Probably the case, yeah. Because I actually had a couple friends that mentioned to me they wanted to go to the Eisners, but they couldn't because it was packed house.
I never really usually have an issue because I manage to just get a seat in the front, the front area where only VIPs and press and blah, blah, blah are supposed to sit.
Yeah.
Retailers and, you know, everyone but the plebes, the poor plebes. I feel so bad
for them. Yes, and I'm sorry, plebes, I will be skipping you again this year if they're letting press go in a special way.
Well, what's interesting about San Diego is that they've always been kind of, like, unlike other conventions, they're less friendly to people with special badges.
Yeah.
Like, unless you are a guest or, you know, some the professionals, you're not really going to get the special treatment,
mm-hmm.
which is kind of good, like, because you go to an anime con, and if you have, like, a press badge, you're, like, freaking God.
Yeah, you're guaranteed seating at Masquerade, and they want to kiss your ring, basically.
Yeah, but, I mean, you know, hopefully we'll be able to get in the Eisners. It'll be fun.
Well,
fun as it... nothing beats 2 years ago.
Oh, dude, that was fantastic. And hey, it's the most popular YouTube video you're ever gonna have.
Yeah, well.
Well, you were the only person who managed to get video of
Neil
Gaiman getting snobbed.
Because nobody takes video of the Eisners. I don't understand that. Like, why they don't take more video of the Eisners?
And I say snogged because he's British.
It wasn't really a snog, though.
Yeah, I know. I know. All right, I guess we're pretty much done here. I'm gonna go record about Philly, and this might actually be part of that episode. So, hey, people, stay tuned.
I'm gonna go to the bathroom.
Okay, good. You have fun with that. Did you enjoy recording, Chris?
It's okay. I kind of, my throat hurts.
Well, and on that note, bye.
Well, all right, let's ask some questions about Philly, mainly the scheduling it to be on the same day as HeroesCon.
Not smart at all.
Now, Daryl, obviously it's not smart, as you just said. How do you think creators feel about this? Because there are creators that I know live in the Philly area and still chose to go to Heroes. So, I mean, aren't you sort of spurning your people by having it up against a con that's sort of on the upswing as opposed to on a downswing like Philly?
Yeah, because comics are not that big that you should have two cons on the same weekend and make creatives have to choose. You wind up hurting both cons, even though Heroes Con seemed to have everybody. It seemed like everybody went to Heroes Con.
Yeah,
that was the choice that they made. Mm-hmm. We're going to go to Heroes Con in full blast. DC and Marvel especially chose Heroes Con.
Yeah. Well,
and Philly suffered for it.
Of course, yeah. Well, dude, I was literally about three steps away from saying fuck it and going to Heroes. I mean, had it not been budgetary reasons, considering that I'm going to Comic-Cons, I would have been there.
I would have been there.
Because it was basically Super Show in Charlotte. You know, with all the people that were attending. Like, I mean, all the guys that I got to know from the comic forums were down at Charlotte.
Right.
You know, and then there was, you know, Leroy, Brandon, you, Ma'at. And the two olds to grow up guys, and that's about it.
We had some CGS people there also, and he had, I think.
Well, they were there on days that we weren't, though.
Yeah,
like Peter and Jamie D were there, like, on Friday and Sunday.
Shane was there for Friday, I think, also, only.
Because if we had the money, we all would have been in Heroes Con.
I think. Definitely.
Yeah. Oh, no, I would have been there, yeah. But there were also some people from the people who hang out in the Lantern Cast forum.
Uh-huh.
There were some people there.
Okay.
I ran into a couple. That's cool.
Hessie was there also, but because she only lived too, that's why.
Yeah. You should definitely not have two conventions, at least on the same coast.
No.
Yeah.
Can I say something, though?
Go ahead.
This is what angers me about Wizard World sometimes. I remember, I want to say, three years ago. I mean, they've been doing this on Father's Day weekend for the last 3 years straight.
Yeah.
And the reason is because they know that Heroes Con is also the same weekend. And Wizard is actually purposely doing this for the most part.
Mm-hmm.
They're trying to split the attendance ratio. And that's why I think we've been seeing these downsizes in shows.
Right.
Because when you split the attendance population, chances are that people are going to go to a more up-and-coming con.
Sure.
And this happened especially after the spike, the whole spike Wizard, you know, implosion debacle.
I was going to say, I mean, wouldn't you be better off still just hosting a bigger con and getting, you know, 30,000 people to show up as opposed to 10,000 at Philly, you know?
Exactly.
I think so.
Well, someone please tell them that, please.
Hey, Wizard, hey, stop that.
No, go to your room.
Okay.
Hey, Wizard, get off my lawn.
Bad, Seamus. Bad.
Fly.
I mean, all I got out of the con with the big two was okay. The list, Dark Reign, the list by the books.
Mm-hmm.
That was about it. We had Greg Pak, we had Dan Slott, and then we had a bunch of editors on a Dark Reign panel, which is your major storyline that's going on that's company wide.
Yeah.
And you only have Greg Pak, which is, he's a good writer, but Greg Pak, Dan Slott, they're not even the main writers of Dark Reign.
And you had a couple artists also, right?
Yeah, well, all she edited was Agent of Atlas.
Okay.
I mean, and that was like, that's your major panel?
Well, they obviously didn't give a damn.
I mean, that's what you're saying.
Yeah.
You really didn't care.
Well, Marvel never really cared for Philadelphia in the first place, unfortunately.
But they still had a booth there.
Yeah. Well, they had a booth there, yeah, but they never, honestly, from what I got, a lot of stuff I've seen from them over the last few years, they always considered Philadelphia to be a spot to compete with DC, really.
Okay. Well,
the only reason that's why they're ever there.
Which is kind of weird, because you'd think that, and obviously, I mean, that's why DiDio was at Philly, is because, you know, he didn't have to worry about hopping on a plane. You know, you can just drive down there and do it. You'd think that Marvel would be thinking the same thing. You know, all the New York guys can just hop on a, you know, hop in their cars, go there, you know, carpool if they want to, and hell, they could even stay at their own house afterwards. Exactly. You know? Just make a one-day appearance and then go back.
Bendis is a writer on your Wizard website.
Yes.
Okay, Bendis is a writer on the website. He didn't even go.
Nope, he went to Heroes, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yep. In fact, he even had a Jinx World meetup at Heroes. You know,
so that should tell you something.
Yeah, it sure as hell tells me something. It tells me don't ever do that again. MegaCon happened the same weekend as WonderCon.
But
the difference is San Francisco and Florida. You know, that's one coast, another coast. That's perfectly fine. In the anime convention world, this happens all the time. For instance, there'll be like a big con, like say for example, there'll be like a Boston or whatever, and you might have the same weekend. Some Acon or something like that, or you know, like there might be some small con in like you know, Long Beach or whatever happening the same weekend as something that's happening in Maine, but it doesn't. Nobody cares because you still got one happening on the east and one happening on the west. That's perfectly fine. If this was something like that, it would make a hell of a lot more sense. Like if one of the cons was happening in Los Angeles, if Heroes Con was in a Los Angeles con, and Philly was happening the same weekend, I'd be okay with that.
Right. You know, this is a lot about the companies, though. I remember with WonderCon and MegaCon happened the same weekend. What did they do? They sent Bob Wayne to WonderCon with Ian Sattler, and they sent and Dan DiDio when himself went down to Florida.
Yep.
And the same thing they did with this year with Heroes, and also they did the same thing this year with Heroes and with Wizard World Philly. They sent Ian Sattler down to Heroes with a contingent of artists and writers, and they kept Dan DiDio and Bob Wayne in Philadelphia.
Yeah, with Raz Morales and a bunch of other people.
Yeah. And so, again, I think it does show how much that Marvel doesn't really care about Philadelphia. I shouldn't say they don't care about Philadelphia. I mean, a lot of their readership does come from Philadelphia. But, I mean, it's almost, in my opinion, almost like a slap in the face saying that, you know, Philadelphia is not important enough for us to show a good show number down there. We're just going to do Heroes Con instead. And that's the problem when you split conventions like that.
All right, before Brandon needs to go back to his hood, his house, and the homies with the whatnot and the woo-woo-woo.
Is that a racial slur?
Yes. Every single bit of it was a racial slur. Deal with it. Accept it. It's over. It's done with.
Damn.
Yeah. So we went to the DC Nation. Thoughts, opinions. Did they actually give away anything?
No, not...
sort of.
Well, other than the little oopsie that Didio did. Other than that...
Well, he basically just revealed, spoiler alert, that Jason Todd is indeed the current Red Hood.
But we've known that for a while, though.
Well, they were making it seem like it was who is the new Red Hood? Who is the new Red Hood? I mean, it's the same as the old Red Hood.
Exactly. And also, Sam Keith working on Lobo.
Which is pretty damn cool.
Yes. Hopefully, Lobo will be fully clothed this time.
No. Not at all. Not at all. He's best naked.
Like Wolverine.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Why
is Wolverine naked?
Yes. Sam, what do you want to draw? I want to draw a fish with wooden teeth.
And one of the things that was sort of revealed, but not really, the rest of the Blackest Night miniseries, which was...
Flash, JSA, and...
Not Teen Titans. Wonder Woman.
Wonder Woman, yes.
Yeah, Wonder Woman! Which could very well be Artemis.
Well, you can't really kill a god, can you?
Yes. Yes, you can. Have you read Thor?
Oh,
Artemis is alive in the next issue of Secret Six.
Wait, really?
Yeah.
Artemis is alive?
Artemis should be in the next issue of Secret Six, according to the blurb they do at the end of the last issue.
So. Wow. Hey, explain to people who you are.
Hi, I'm Fred. I'm from Brandon's hood.
Oh, awesome. In his house with the homies and the whatnot and the woo?
Yes, all of us white people.
Oh, yeah.
And Brandon.
Yeah, and Brandon. White people and Brandon. How's that feel, to be the only white guy?
I'm ostracized on a daily basis.
You're not white or black.
I'm an Oreo, what can I say?
Yeah, cream.
Oh. Ew.
All right, fine. So basically, same old DC Nation, right?
Yeah, I mean, the deal was tight-lipped as ever, and a little bit glib also. I gotta admit, though, he did, to his credit, you know, and yeah, says what did suck, and he actually took it, not so much with a grain of salt, he actually did take it with some thought. It was just a little bit different, and Bob Wayne was on his game as ever.
Ah, yes, the return of Bob Wayne.
Yes, we've gone through three cons, I think, without Bob Wayne.
Mm-hmm.
No, now it's, I have.
You have. You have. I got Bob Wayne in New York Comic Con. Yeah, right. Which was nice, and fun, and friendly, and squishy.
And we did make Bob Wayne laugh while we're waiting for our Art and Franco sketch. Well, yeah. From our art sketches.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah. All right, I don't want to keep you too long, because I know you got a train to catch. Mm-hmm. But, yeah. You'll be on soon eventually.
Yeah, if I'm ever on Skype still.
Mm-hmm. If you're ever on Skype.
Still. Yeah.
I have your phone number. I can call you.
I know.
Yep. All right. Yeah. All right. Okay, well, you enjoyed your time?
Yeah, it was, I had to say it was a little smaller than last year, and a lot smaller than the year before, and a lot smaller from the before that. But, you know, it's Wizard World. If it's not back here next year, I'm going to miss it, though.
All right. Well, hopefully it will be, and hopefully you'll be back here next year. Yep. Maybe I will be, too, because it's easy enough for me to get here.
3 hours by train.
Mm-hmm. Bye, Brennan.
Bye, Ian.
Bye, Fred.
Goodbye.
Yes. The programming still looked pretty rich at Philly, but it was nothing that I wanted to do.
Yeah.
Now, you didn't go to any panels, right?
I hit one panel, and that was the Dark Reign panel. And I've been to panels where you had to stand up to sit in the panel.
Uh-huh.
And this panel had seats all the way through.
Oof. Well, that's not good. That's not good.
No. And all they could tell you was they showed you four books, and their main thing was the list. You know, this is a big thing that's coming up with the list. Couldn't tell you what's really going to happen in the list. Couldn't tell you anything about Captain America. You know, there was nothing, there was no one there that could tell you anything that's really going on. I mean, the Ultimate books are the big thing that's going on right now.
Mm-hmm.
Dark Reign is the big thing going on right now. And you have the War of Kings and stuff going on right now. They had no one there that could really talk to you about that.
Can I go on a mini rant real quick about Ultimate Comics?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. $3.99. $3.99. You are charging me $3.99 for a restart of a series that didn't even need a frickin' restart. Ultimate Spider-Man.
Yep.
Okay? Ultimate Spider-Man still sells to this day, correct?
Correct.
Right? Okay, all right. So you're charging me $3.99 for a issue one, and I would be okay with that if it was just issue one, but they just solicited issue two, and it's also $3.99.
Yeah, it's everything.
At least with DC, though, if it's going to be more expensive, guess what you're getting? You're getting 8 to 10 more pages of story.
Exactly.
You're getting the backups. I'm sorry, not the backups. You're getting the second features.
However, I'm also in the camp of what a bunch of people said. This is just like what happens when Coca-Cola or something like that, they'll give you like a bottle that says, you know, now with 10% more Coke, and they charge you like say the same price or whatever, and then it might go up 40 cents, and it'll be, you know, still now 10% more. And then eventually it'll go down to the original size bottle, and they'll still be charging you 40 cents more.
Yeah, they're going to get this is exactly
what's going to happen with DC. They're going to give you these backups, and then about a year afterwards, all of a sudden you're going to be back down to 22 pages, and then still going to be $3.99. Watch it happen. Yeah, but
I want a Coke.
You want a Coke? You want a Coke? There's 10% more. Go ahead.
Okay, when I go with the Ultimate line, if you're going to... The only books that should be $3.99, X-Men didn't work.
Mm-hmm.
That book lost sales left and right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I understand them doing that $3.99. Ultimate Fantastic Four, same problem. I understand that being $3.99. But Ultimate Spider-Man, people bought that. So you reward people for buying that book by charging them a dollar more.
Yeah, and this is after Brian Michael Bendis said, you know, when we first found out about this whole Ultimate Comics Presents Spider-Man or whatever the hell they're freaking calling it, I don't even know. Like Ultimate Comics Presents Spider-Man or Ultimate Comics Spider-Man, I don't even know. He mentioned on his boards when people were saying, oh, watch this be a $3.99 book, watch this be a $3.99 book, and Bendis was like, no, we're not going to do that to you.
Right.
You know? Well, surprise. You know, and I know that Bendis has nothing to do with this shit, that it's all, you know, the big wigs at Marvel pulling this stuff. But I can pay $3.99 for Dark Avengers. I'm okay with that. Because it's Dark Avengers. It's an Avengers book. I feel like I'm getting something important out of it, you know?
At least they started. Okay, it's a price. I didn't like it, but at least in the beginning, you're telling me it's going to be $3.99. Either take it or leave it. In the beginning.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But you're emotionally in Ultimate Spider-Man. For the people that have been buying it from at least the second arc, you're in the book.
Yes. Dude, I've been reading it since issue one. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
I have my first issue of Ultimate Spider-Man 9.6 CGC graded. Because, like, back when I actually still believed in the CGC, which was before, you know, now, obviously, you know, I got a present from my parents, and they let me CGC a couple books, and I CGC'd Ultimate Spider-Man number one for 9.6 grading, you know, which used to be worth, like, $300 back in the day, by the way. I really wish I would have sold it when I had a chance, because now it's, like, down to, like, 80 if I'm lucky. But been picking it up ever since, $2.99, all the way through. Now it's $3.99, and I don't know if I want to do it. I really don't.
Well, all you're saying is either I'm going to stop buying the book or I'm going to go to just get it in trade. Yeah. Why should I buy it in a single issue?
It's true, man. I mean, the minute that this shit is solicited on Heroes Corner, I'll probably just go ahead and pick it up there, you know, because that's just the way it goes, you know? I mean, if there ain't going to be a huge-ass discount on this stuff, and yeah, I mean, sure, on the Heroes Corner or wherever, you know, it's going to be $2.39. Or I think that's what it's discounted to, $2.39 for a $3.99 book. I don't know if that's enough of a discount for me.
I don't know, yeah. It feels like, I know they say you get too emotional, but to me it kind of feels like it's a smack in the face. I've been, you know, I'm supporting your book, and you're just going to, you know, up the price. And the book wasn't doing that. That, you know, I can understand the book was losing sales, but the book is making money.
Yeah. Oh, and speaking of making money, did you read the last issue, the quote-unquote last issue of Ultimate Spider-Man?
Nothing happened.
Oh, yeah, the silent issue. Okay.
Right.
A freaking silent issue for a last issue of a comic book where absolutely nothing happens that makes me feel like I've actually spent my money well was sort of like stabbing everybody in the back.
That's filler to me. I mean, you're just biting time. You're biting time until you get to Ultimatum 6, and then...
And then Requiem, or whatever it's going to be.
Right.
Yeah. Requiem already
came
out.
That's all it seemed like to me.
Yeah, Requiem, the first issue of Requiem came out, right?
Oh, really? I thought both of them came out already.
No, just the first. No.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, no, second one comes out in a few weeks, I'm pretty sure, but...
Oh, I'm sorry about that.
That's all right. Let's talk a little bit about the panel that we went to, Leroy. Because I mean that was the DC Nation panel, and you know, even though the Dio was there and so was Mr. Wayne, really not much actually revealed.
Well, something was revealed during the when I left during the question and answer session.
Maybe
about who the new hood is. Maybe, okay.
Maybe, because I mean he's misspoken about this sort of stuff before, and it's, you know, turned out to not exactly be true, but. He did mention in the Q&A portion when someone brought up Jason Todd that the Jason Todd doesn't look like he's actually dead after all, big whoop, and that
and that
he might actually be the Red Hood that's going to be in the Batman and Robin arc that Morrison's doing.
Why am I not surprised?
Yeah, big shock, right? What a shock! Jason Todd's the Red Hood. We knew that already.
Because how many times can you fall off the villain fall off the cliff into darkness?
Into the water.
Yeah. It's okay, he got better.
Right.
Yeah.
Flipper saved him.
He landed on a mattress.
Oh.
Then he spun out of the corner of his eye as the helicopter was rooting down.
Exactly. What else was revealed, Ziggo? Anything?
You know, to be honest, I just can't help but just keep laughing at that guy that was lashing at the end of the deal when they were going back and forth. Everything I do sucks. My fault. That was kind of funny.
Talk about it a little bit.
Oh, right. Basically, we're there. And the thing is, I wasn't paying too much attention because Becky was sitting next to me and she was asking questions like, what's a Black Lantern and stuff like that. So I was pretty much just whispering to her, no, you know, this is what's going on in DC right now.
Right.
But there was someone who wasn't happy, a fan in the audience, that was not happy with Battle for the Cowl. Personally, I was, but whatever. And he just said, oh, I just have something to say. You know, Battle for the Cat has to be the worst comic I ever read, you know, in my life. And Dan the Deal's like, oh, okay. And he was like, no, you know, it sucked. And Dan the Deal's like, well, was it worse than such comic? I forgot what he mentioned. And he's like, yeah, it was. And well, it was just an angry fanboy. I honestly don't remember all the exact word for word, but they were just going at it back and forth. It was funny.
Brandon, do you remember any more?
I remember the comic you mentioned was US 1. And
yeah, okay, yeah, that's the one. Yeah, I don't remember the words, but it led on to something where he actually ends up going, oh, so everything that sucks is my fault, right? 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 Okay, whenever you don't like something, raise your hand, let me know, and you just kept picking on him.
Everything has to be better than US 1. That's basically the rule of thumb.
Yeah. I think US 1 was better than one comic book ever.
Yeah, which one? Super Pro?
Super Pro.
Yeah. Everybody remember Super Pro?
Yes, I do.
Everybody wished that they didn't remember Super Pro?
You see it in the back bins every now and then when you're looking through at a con. They'll slip it in there just to see if they can get rid of it.
Man, I would have loved for him to die in the Secret Invasion. Just be like one of the throwback characters in the background, man. Good times, good times.
We still got time. Norman might use them.
That's true, that's true.
He had MVP.
Mm. You mean with all the Black Lantern shit?
Oh, MVP.
Yeah. Oh, boy. MVP. There's three of them. There's two of them. Now there's just one.
Yeah, Michael, he's dead.
He's the Michael Vanderpatrick.
Yes. Yeah. which was pretty creative. I must say, when you give somebody three names, what else do you name your clones but Michael Vanderpatrick?
That gives me hope now.
It goes.
Uh-huh. Yeah, not much was revealed at the panel. It was...
We know that Brian Azzarello is going to be doing Doc Samson.
Yes, yes, which was pretty... you mean Doc Savage. You said Doc Samson.
Sorry, I'm
I think they I think they did the same mistake also up there in the panel.
Really?
Yeah.
He's going to be doing Doc Samson. It's going to be a crossover between Marvel and DC. It's going to be pretty interesting. Yeah, he's got green hair. Yeah, good times. Well, one of the other things, speaking of Black Lanterns, one of the other things that was brought up in the panel was, you know, yet again they mentioned this, that we'll find out about what happens to Hawkman in Blackest Night.
About time. Cool.
Yeah, because they've sort of been not explaining that at all.
Because first they were dead, then they weren't.
Then they were again.
And then Kendra, you know, yeah, you think Kendra's dead, and then no, she just broke up with Roy and went back to Hawkman, and...
And we haven't seen Hawkman since.
Right.
Yeah. Well,
Kendra's an necrophiliac, too.
And then they gave a little... I remember them giving a little thing about maybe that whole thing with him being all the different Hawkmen, maybe it's not true. They were going to do a mini on that.
Yeah, but that was Jim Starlin, and it looks like Jim Starlin might be done with DC.
Oh, and that's why it's going to Wednesday Comics.
Right. Well, no. See, my things... Well, no. Wednesday Comics is separate. I mean, okay. Wednesday Comics is completely out of continuity.
Thank God.
Yeah, which is why Wednesday Comics is going to be so fun. You know.
Oh, right. That's another thing that they did in DC Nation. Yes. They showed what
Wednesday Comics number one's going to look like.
Yeah, it looks pretty neat.
Yeah, no, it does. I mean, it looks like a full...
The art is beautiful. Did you see the Superman pages?
Yes, I did.
I think with Lee... What is his name? Lee... Jimmy... He did the Deathblow Batman mini a while back.
I know who you're talking about. I just can't think of his name.
It's beautiful. The pages that they showed were just beautiful.
What do you think of it being in USA Today?
I'm all for it. I mean, if you can get people to actually look at it, I mean, and not even just look at it, but just give it a chance. Just read it. Just, you know, you can get one person that hasn't read comics in years to just look through it and see that it's not the same as what they read when they were younger.
Oh, yeah.
It's always a positive thing.
No question. Definitely. And it's good that it's not in continuity because, you know...
Yeah.
Because I mean, quite frankly, if you put something in continuity in USA Today, who the hell's going to understand anything?
I really wish, looking back, like, I've been looking at the JLA Unlimited cartoons, and I'm like, I wish they had just given McDuffie out of continuity JLA book.
Yes.
And just let him have a good artist, and he could just do what he wants to do with it and just have fun with it, yeah, with the book.
But hey, I'm not complaining about James Robinson and Mark Bagley.
No, that's what I'm saying. Let James Robinson, they should have came to that conclusion before. Let James Robinson do the JLA book,
mm-hmm,
but you should have had McDuffie doing, if you knew you were going to do all these things with Justice League, just have McDuffie do something out of continuity. So you can actually have the league together and not have to worry about taking them out the book.
Yeah, definitely. No, I agree with you. I mean, they really should have just actually kept JLU Unlimited or whatever it was. Like the
right.
You know, and just have him do an arc on that. That would have been fantastic. I mean, then he would have actually been able to do another Justice Award story.
Right, and all the people that did like the cartoon, you can tell them, hey, you like the cartoon, you want to read more about it. There you go. We got a book for you.
Yep.
Cross-marketing. That's what helped a lot of Johnny DC titles. Things like Teen Titans when that was still going on. Or
Static. Come on.
Definitely, yes, also.
Yeah. No question on that one, man. Yeah.
And I love what McKeever did with Static and you know, when introducing him to the team. And then you give him so much shit for being with all his continuity stuff that he left the book.
I mean, it wasn't his fault or anything. I mean...
Did you see the little link I showed you? They posted a little comic on the Fixer's Hideout forum of explaining why he got fired.
Oh, that was hilarious.
I think we're pretty much done with that, but just to end with the Jim Starlin thing, what I was talking about, though, is that miniseries that he's been doing, or not even miniseries, the like anthology thing that he's been doing with all the space characters, that's apparently over and done with.
Wow.
Because it looks like some of those characters are going to be appearing in Rebels, and last I heard, Starlin does not have anything upcoming.
Wow.
Yeah, so I don't know whether they had a falling out or whether it just wasn't selling, but they're done.
You know what? I think if I was Starlin, I'd be mad over what happened with the New Gods. You bring me on the book, you have me write this long story about how to... And that's a serious thing to take to kill off the New Gods.
Yep.
And then in one full sweep, you negate my... thing with one issue of Final Crisis.
Mm-hmm. But whose fault is that? DC editorial.
No, that's all DC. It's not Starlin's fault. He just wrote. You knew what he was going to write.
It's true.
You have to give them an outline of what you're going to do. So they knew this.
I'm not trying to be rushful, but I really have to get going soon. I got work early in the morning, and my mom's about to make a lot of noise, and it's not going to be cool.
All right. Well, I mean, whenever you need to leave, just let us know.
All right. Well, no, that's the thing. I kind of have to go right now. So,
all right.
Sorry about that.
All right. Well,
all right. So,
good
luck with the rest of the recording, guys.
All right. So listen to Ziggo on Comic Tube and all that. Let me get into the actual haul that everybody got. Okay. Let me know how you did spend them wise. That's sort of really all you could do at the con anyway.
Yeah, I went through like a whole bunch of. They had a back bend, which was 50 cents a comic. So I went back and I got the Avengers, the Vaders miniseries. I got up to issue 7.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And then I went and I got the Punisher War Journal that Fraction had done. I got from 6 all the way to issue 11. Mm-hmm. And then I never got the last part of that Mac Fraction did. So I got from issue 10... And then I got a one-shot of Immortal Iron Fist. And then I got Buffy the Vampire Slayer, their Time of Your Life arc. And then they had the cartoon one, the break issue, where they kind of threw in the animated cartoon that they were going to do.
Oh, wow.
And, yeah. And then I got Brave and the Bold, the Mark Waid, Perez, their last arc that they did before Perez left.
Okay. Now, did you get that in trade, or did you get that in singles?
No, everything was single issues. I bought all of that under $19.
Jeez. Now, that was all $1 bins?
Yeah, and I tried to get maybe I'll get the Mac Fraction, because I stopped getting Uncanny after the first Ed Brubaker run, you know, 12 issues of that. And now I want to get back into it, you know, especially with the crossover. So I went and I asked, you know, did they have those issues? Somebody came in and bought the entire Mac Fraction Ed Brubaker run.
Holy crap.
They just bought that whole thing up that morning.
Damn. That's pretty damn awesome.
Yeah.
that they were, although it's kind of sad that they had all that actually available.
That's what I was thinking. I'm like, you have, because the mini with the Avengers Invaders, that's not even done yet.
No, it's
and
not.
And already it's in the bin for 50 cents?
Yeah, in fact, actually, issue 12, I think, might have just come out.
Yeah, it just came out this Wednesday, I mean.
Yeah, note to self, I got to read 10, 11, and 12. Even though I have them, they're still waiting there to be ready, because it's been okay. It's not the best thing in the world.
Right, and that's saying something that they held, you know, they made a big deal out of that book, and it's in the bins.
Yeah, well, it's proving that if Alex Ross isn't actually doing the art, it's not really that important.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's true.
Brandon, how'd you do?
You and I both hit the $4 trade and $8 hardcover booth. That was pretty awesome, actually. Picked up Ruse Volume 1 and 2. And hardcovers, I picked up the Batman Hong Kong. And then also the same booth, they had 50 Cent issues. And spotted the Spider-Man with Great Power 1 through 5 for me. And I also picked up Uncle Sam and the Freedom Fighters 1 through 4. And I think I'm missing like 5 and 6 of the 8 issue series. I picked up a couple Young Justice issues and a couple issues of Power Man and of all things also Young Heroes in Love.
Oh, cool.
Wow.
Well,
50 cents each. And I also picked up Kelly's new book also, Four Eyes.
Oh, cool. Okay. And how much money did you wind up spending altogether?
Altogether, probably around $40 in shopping.
Oh, you're making me depressed.
Why?
Well, no, just that you were able to spend $40 and get that amount of comic books.
Yeah.
This is something that the CGS guys brought up a little bit also, that is it, how much longer is this going to last? The whole 50 cent dollar bin things, you know, until retailers get smart and either get out of the business entirely or start ordering significantly less of this crap. You know?
I don't know, because, you know, they make a big deal about how well Buffy's been doing, and they had her run, the entire run of the Buffy season 8 in that bin.
The entire run.
The entire run. And I had the trades already from the other, so I didn't need it. I just needed after that point. So I'm like, you're telling me, you know, it's doing so well, it's selling so well, but why is it in the 50 cent bin?
It's a good question.
I think it still boils down to the whole speculation market as well. I mean, I think when they see that, like, for example, Joss Whedon comes in a book, they'll order more and more. And even though they see a lot of gangbusters for the first run, they'll order twice as much for that second run, just to keep in stock. I mean, it happened with the Mark Waid Barack Obama Spider-Man, not crossword, but the issue. And we're still seeing those first printings going for obscene amount of money, but they're not selling though, are they?
No, they're not.
They had that too.
Yeah, I think the same booth where they had the $8 trade, they had all four printings of that issue. The first printing was going for like, I want to say $125. The second printing was going for like $75. Third printing was going for $50, and the fourth printing was going for $5. Really?
I have the second printing. You're telling me that I can sell it for $75?
Probably, yeah. Again, it's the whole the speculation market from what almost killed the comics in the 90s. The fact that these issues may be worth some money in the future, let's buy as many as we can just in case.
Well, eBay's going to kill that this summer.
Oh, yeah.
Think of just how many variants you see almost automatically for 50% off at these bins.
Yeah.
You know, and sometimes even more than that. I mean, sometimes you'll find variants that are supposed to be like, you know, one in 50 or 1 in 20 still in dollar bins.
I think every Dark Reign Avengers book had a variant.
And they were all, you know, there.
Yeah.
Ugh. Well, okay, what I wound up getting, okay, I didn't really do much of the dollar bin things. I did more of the whole trade thing because I found some trades that I really never expected to find for that cheap. And for that matter, some trades that I never really expected to find, period. I got from, I think it was a $2 bin, not a dollar bin. I got a bunch of old Kyle Rayner Green Lantern issues that I didn't have, so that was fun. But from the actual, like, actual bins that were selling shit for really cheap, I got the first trade paperback of Sentinels, and you'll hear the interview on this episode, for $4.
Mm.
At the $4 trade booth. All right, people, we're here at Wizard World Philly. It is Saturday because, well, it's the only day I'm here, so why else would I be here? And we're here with Rich, one more time.
Vernatovich
of Sentinels. So I've been hearing a lot about your book from a bunch of people, so why don't you tell the crowd out there what Sentinels is all about?
Sentinels is a story of a second-generation team whose parents disappeared when they were young, and now that they've stepped into role hero themselves and they're going about adventures, they get pulled into the whole mystery of what happened to the first generation. So we told our story over a series of four trades. Each were 216 pages, and each trade is self-contained but carries the storyline throughout. Ends with the fourth volume, so you get a beginning, middle, end. And we did a follow-up a year later, Sentinels Anthology, with a bunch of different creators, writers, and artists doing their own short stories on the different characters of the universe.
Oh, cool. Okay. So it's sort of like what would happen if Infinity Inc. was investigating the disappearance of JSA, whatnot.
Sort of.
Okay.
Sort of. I guess you could say that. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, to explain it to everybody out there, I mean, basically, this is a group of kids that are basically wondering what the hell happened to their parents, right?
Exactly. And, you know, it's a lot of that whole hereditary thing and honoring your... your mentors.
What
you know,
came before you and, that, before and, what, and whatnot. Yes. Yeah, okay. Yeah. Now, where do you draw your inspiration? I mean, from superhero comics, Marvel, DC, whatnot, that sort of stuff?
Definitely. I mean, I grew up with a lot of 80 books. Titans, X-Men, Infinity Inc. you mentioned.
Wolfman Perez Titans, Wolfman that sort
Perez,
of stuff.
Yeah. Right. I've known George, you know, since I was young. He was nice enough to, like, be kind to a young child. Who,
George Perez, wonderful person.
He's the best. He's the best.
For sure.
I mean, he actually did a bunch of sketches for my book.
Oh, fantastic.
So he's drawn every team member, you know, over the course of the years. So, yeah, he's a great, great guy. Can't say enough about him. But also, you know, also real life, you know, family, friends, just, you know, my own feelings about what makes a family. You know, because it's not always the family you're born into.
Right,
it's a family you create. And that's kind of what Sentinels is.
Well, I mean, friends can become family easier than anything.
Absolutely. And, you know, you choose them. You know, so sometimes you choose your family, sometimes you don't. You know?
Sometimes things don't exactly turn out well.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
So that was a lot of the inspiration for Sentinels also.
Okay, cool. And how long is that? How long have you guys been around at this point?
I started Sentinels in 2000, and the end of 2003, beginning of 2004, the first trade came out.
Okay.
And then from there, we had about a trade a year. So it took us about a year to do each trade, which is fairly fast, considering it's about 8.5 issues of a regular comic. And now we're going to move on to other books and stuff now that Sentinels is done. But I'd say overall it took us about 4.5 years to finish the whole series.
Now, is this going
to
be in the same wheelhouse superhero books, or is this going to be something different?
No, definitely trying something different.
Okay.
A supernatural book called Nevermind, deals with a lot of mysticism and voodoo and...
Hence the banner directly behind you.
Yes. And, you know, it takes place in New Orleans. A lot of spiritual stuff. And then I have another book which is not quite named yet because I'm not in love with the name, but it's a dark comedy. And that's all I kind of want to say about one right now. It's a very dark comedy with a very interesting style of art.
Well, if you decide to name it Super Happy Fun Time, I wouldn't go with that.
Oh, okay. Yeah. No.
Now, you got a website out there?
Yes. The website is www.sentinelsonline.com.
Okay.
And through that, you can also get to my forum and my blog. And my blog is updated pretty much daily with different things.
Now, not just Sentinel stuff, but
not
other stuff?
Not just Sentinel stuff. All kinds of stuff.
Stream of consciousness.
Yeah, I've actually started drawing myself.
Oh, cool.
Doing a sketch a day project right now.
So
by the year, hopefully I'll get the 365 sketches. We'll see about that. And then I'm going to do a webcomic on my own, which will just be web-based, and I'll write and draw that.
Cool. Now, can people get into this this sketch-a-day thing, or is this just you drawing whatever you feel like?
Yeah, they can totally. A lot of people have been making recommendations.
Sweet,
you know, and I do, you know, depending on what my mood is of the day. I have a list, and then who do I want to do? Yeah.
Well, it certainly sounds good to me. And thanks for joining us here, Rich.
Thank you for having me.
All right, and maybe more from Philly if I feel like it. And then I found three, four things that I really, well, okay, at least three of them that I'd never found in trade bins before, especially 50% off trade bins. It might be because the series is now canceled, but I found volumes 1 and 2 of Birds of Prey for 50% off.
Wow.
The Chuck Dixon trade paperback that has been out of print for the past 10 years, basically.
Shame.
Yeah. And that's volume 1 does the miniseries, and then volume 2 does one of the miniseries plus the first like 3 issues or whatever of the Birds of Prey series.
Question: does volume 1 have the Birds of Prey girlfriend one shot in it also?
I think it might. I'm not sure. I don't have it on me right now, but there were a couple of the Birds of Prey things that were not included in that. However, I did get Birds of Prey, Catwoman, Batgirl, also for 50% off. That was part 1 of 2, though, so I'll have to track down part 2. And I got Flash Born to Run for 50% off.
Wow.
Yeah. Which is the beginning of Mark Waid, and basically that was the beginning of Mark Waid's awesome run. You know,
yeah.
Right then and there. And I'm trying to think if there's anything else that I got. I got Penny Arcade Volume 5 for 50% off. So that's the trade paperbacks that they make of the Penny Arcade strips. So I got that for Chris. And, anything else off the top of my head that I can think of? Nope, that's about it. So I wound up spending about $70 at the con. But that was all on trades that were ridiculously cheap.
Yeah.
That's impressive.
Yeah, I know. So, yeah, I mean, really good shopping con. That's about it. That's a positive in some ways. I don't know if it's going to make me go back to it next year.
Yeah, it's a positive in the short run, but I wonder how it's going to affect the industry in the long run.
I hear you. Well, we're going to have on next week, we're going to have on John Carroll and Sean Pryor talking about their Heroes Con experience. And
I can't wait for that.
I'll be curious to see how it went, because Sean was behind the table. So he was, you know, running things all weekend for the PKD Media, and John was attending it as an actual guy.
I know Sean mentioned, we spoke on Facebook, he said that he had the most traffic, I think it was Monday or Tuesday, on his website. So I wonder if it was from being at the con.
I hope so. I mean, that would explain it, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, hey, more people find that out about PKD, man, the better. Because I actually just got in my shipment from, at least the last shipment I got from Heroes Corner, had in the PKD Media Presents number 1, which is now available. So, hooray for that. Off the
Yeah, I got to get mine.
Yeah. And that came with, you know, all the bells and whistles that his issues usually come with, including, like, you know, soundtrack and a bunch of other things, so... Huzzah. All right. I'm sort of talked out at this point. So how about some final thoughts on Philly before we wrap this baby up? So, Brandon?
Hello, Wizard World. I will miss you if you're not back next year. I love you. You're my first con. Don't leave me.
you need a tissue? Do you need me to call the ambulance?
Well, I'm a moment here. In all seriousness, though, I mean, this was a surprisingly really good shopping con, and this is probably the best I've seen ever at Wizard. I mean, if it's not back as Wizard World next year, I would like to see it as Philadelphia Con, you know, something like that, just to make sure that there is a con in Philadelphia,
I mean, they stopped calling Wizard World Chicago Wizard World Chicago. It's just Chicago Comic Con now.
Yeah.
I mean, if they can keep a con of a halfway decent size not on Father's Day in Philadelphia, I'll be extremely ecstatic.
But all the fathers get to spend their money on comics.
This is true. I mean, honestly, for me, I almost couldn't go this weekend because I didn't have off from work. I had to beg and borrow. And my only day off would have been to go on Sunday, and I couldn't go on Sunday because that's Father's Day.
Right.
So that's another big detractor for me, at least for that weekend.
You want to know how I spent Father's Day?
How?
Seeing Star Trek for the third time.
It was awesome, wasn't it?
At King of Prussia.
KOP, huh?
Yep.
Nice. The IMAX.
Not an IMAX, actually, just on a big screen.
I still love that movie.
Oh, it's fantastic, yeah. And then afterwards, on my way back, I got to go back to 30th Street Station, so I had myself the best mac and cheese in the goddamn world with some fried chicken and collard greens.
Mm-hmm. I hate to say it, but my mom can cook better than Delilah.
Really?
Really.
Huh. So when am I coming over?
I'll bring it over next time.
Okay, all right.
Super show. Super show.
Super. No. Come on. You know where we eat for Super Show.
Shaky Maples, I know that, but I'll bring you some of my mom's macaroni and cheese.
That's fine. Okay, cool.
This will be my first Super Show, too.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Me too.
Well, make sure you stay at the Days Inn, because that's where all the shit happens.
Yeah.
I'm making sure. We got to make sure we plan this stuff ahead. We got to be ready. I know that's where we have to get together and make a plan on how we, you know, how we're going to do it.
Well, we'll have our yearly comic timing episode from The Room. Where last year it was, I'm trying to remember everybody who came by. It was, literally, I just put like an invite out to anybody who wanted to stop by The Room, and I kept the door open. And by the end, we had, I think, in the room, Raph, me, Chad Burdett, two other guys, and I'm sorry, I can't remember your names right now, but I met you there and you were fun. Just Bill. The Fist of Justice guy.
The trade guy also, right?
Yeah. And Sean Pryor. All in the same hotel room talking comics.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So I can't wait for Super Show, man, so we can get that shit going again.
Mm-hmm.
All right, Daryl, final thoughts?
I know it has the potential to be better than it was this time, but I'm really curious to get into the minds of the guys running the con to see if they're sacrificing things in order to get that New York market. I mean, everybody's, when they see the numbers that New York Comic Con had, I wonder if they just, you know, their mouth is watering to get that type of traffic at a con.
You can't do that when you don't have things to draw people in.
Right, and that's the thing that can bite them in the butt later, if that's what they're counting on. Because
mm-hmm.
The New York just has a vibe that you just, it didn't have it in the first show. I mean, it took time to develop it into how it is now.
Only vibe it had the first show was the fire marshal.
That was it, standing outside looking at people go in.
Yep.
But, I mean, so I'm just curious to see, you know, how, what they're thinking is, and, you know, are they going to try to do a better job with Philly or just drop Philly altogether?
I think the thing with Philly, though, is way back when it was, you know, Wizard was big and loud, it was actually a well-organized show. And that's what New York Comic Con is. It's a well-organized show. You look at another show like MegaCon, that's another well-organized show. Pittsburgh's another well-organized show. HeroesCon's another well-organized show. If you take everything away from Wizard World that makes it Wizard World, it's not going to sparkle as much. You know, as much as they hate to say it, that year when it was Wizard World and the Spike booth and the Marvel booth and all the noise and all that junk, it was still a fun experience. You know, I stayed there all 3 days. I haven't done that for Wizard World in years. Mm. And with New York Comic Con, I think with New York Comic Con, the fact that it's a well-organized show and that there is so much there, I think that's what makes it a better experience. Also, the fact that you have that large diversity,
right.
they're playing to multiple audiences. And Wizard isn't just comics; they're toys, they're multimedia, they're video games now. Also, you didn't see a lot of that at Wizard World at all. You saw a small smattering of it. Remember E3, Ian?
Yes. Yeah. About how they got smaller and then built themselves back up.
Exactly. And E3 for last year and the year before that were really small trade shows. They got back to what E3 was originally. But when you take it away, you take away that beast of a show that it was, you lose a bit of identity. I mean, with Blizzard being loud and obnoxious, that's what the magazine is. The magazine's loud, obnoxious, and slightly tasteless sometimes. If your show doesn't reflect that, then you're going to lose a lot of your audience, because this isn't what they're jumping in. What they're jumping into isn't what they expected.
You know, now I'm totally expecting someone like bringing one of those, or at least a replica of the selling book sign from the episode of The Critic, where Jay Sherman's like waving his hand, going, "Buy my book! Buy my book!" I mean, that's the sort of shit that Wizard World needs.
Yeah.
Because that's Wizard. And that's really sad of me to say that Wizard is over the top and forcing things down your throat. But if they don't...
But they are.
Yeah, but that's what they are, yeah. I mean, if you read an issue of Wizard... I mean, hell, I've been saying this for the past couple episodes. I let my subscription to Wizard lapse. And I had it for, 5 years, 6 years? You know, and I wasn't interested in it anymore. I got rid of it because I can get everything from Wizard online. Now, we're spoiled bastards because we want our Comic Cons to be more than just a Comic Con.
Yeah, we do.
We want it to be a pop culture con. And if you don't give that to us, we're going to go there and be like, oh, yeah, wow, it's like I'm at my comic shop, only it's 10 times bigger. That's interesting. That'll keep my interest for a few hours, but then what then? You know? If you don't give us entertainment, then we're just going to go to your show for one day. We're not going to be there all 3 days. Mm-hmm. And we're really not going to have anything else to go by.
Exactly.
So that's the way I'm looking at Wizard World Philly. It's a nice con to go to one day. You do not need to be there any other day. Mm-hmm. It's not an experience. It's a convention.
Yeah.
You know, and like, for instance, I'm going to San Diego for a week.
Wow.
And I will not be able to do everything in that week. There'll still be parts of the con that I did not hit in that week. And I hit every single part of Wizard World Philly in 5 hours.
Yeah, we did five. Remember when I called you? We did, because we were there at 10, so we did did our five, and we were like, there's nothing else left to do.
I got the show right as they opened. And me, my friend Fred, and his girlfriend Linda, did you guys met them also?
Yeah.
So in the first hour of the show, we walked the entire show floor.
Wow.
We walked the entire show floor, saw every room. We went past every star also.
Yeah, I remember you saying when we first got there, you'd already walked it twice.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's crazy. We got there at what, noon?
Yeah,
you got that, don't.
I mean, that's insane, man. MegaCon. We didn't even wind up walking the entire floor of MegaCon. There were still parts of it that we didn't hit. And that was only slightly bigger than this, it felt like.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But there was more to do there.
I just miss the days when, you know, when WizardCon meant something, you know, when they actually had announcements. I remember they had the first destination panel at Wizard World Philly in 06.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when they announced that, you know, this was 52 number, I think, 6 or whatever, sorry, had just came out. And, you know, people were jazzed. And they said at that con that, you know, the back half of the book was almost, that they were almost done to the back half of the book. I remember that. I'm like, it was actually important when Wizard, you know, through a con. You had the news coming out. You had a lot of stuff going on in WizardCon. And now it's just like, you know, Wizard's still here, you know. It's like the magazine. Like, you let your subscription lapse. I haven't bought a Wizard magazine in almost 2 to 3 years.
You ain't missing much.
I still buy it when I get a discount from my store.
Mm-hmm.
But
mm-hmm.
It's like every month it feels like I'm missing pages.
Yeah, because it just keeps getting smaller and smaller.
Yeah.
Well, come on, man. What does it say that I just actually got myself a subscription to Wired magazine, a magazine that's still a magazine,
mm-hmm.
as opposed to Wizard, which is about 3 pages of magazine and then ads?
Yeah.
You know?
Saying something. They just fired another person Wednesday.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And they have a new magazine coming.
Right. But it's a toy magazine. I mean, it's an all-ages toy magazine.
Yeah. The highlight of my con, you want to know what the highlight of my con was? Having a sandwich at Tony Luke's. And going to the Reading Terminal Market. That was the highlight of my con.
Mm-hmm.
Both of those, okay? Getting a spiced pork sandwich with provolone and broccoli rabe at Tony Luke's was the highlight of my con.
Wow.
dude, I had a cheesesteak earlier in the day.
I know, he's joking.
Yeah. Well, come on. Their pork. Have you had their pork?
No, actually no.
Pretty damn good. Pretty damn good. All right. At this point, I think we've exhausted every single sentence in the English language.
And one more time here, we're sponsored by Heroes Corner over at heroescorner.com. Everything is an additional 2% off this month at Heroes Corner to celebrate the 2-year anniversary of the website. So what do we do? Well, every single pick that Comic Timing has this month is an additional 2% off. We begin with the Clone Saga, Spider-Man the Clone Saga number 1, written by Howard Mackey and Tom DeFalco, with pencils by Todd Knock. 52% off, only $1.92. Regular price of $3.99. Batman and Robin is our DC pick this month. Grant Morrison and Philip Tan, 52% off as well. That is $1.44 off the regular price of $2.99. The return or the introduction, depending on who you ask, of the new Red Hood. And Beasts of Burden number 1, out of Dark Horse Comics, written by Evan Dorkin, with art by Jill Thompson. And this one is 77% off for 69. Woo! 69 cents. I'm going to keep doing that every time I say 69 because I'm a sad man like that. And 77% off, 69 cents, regular price of $2.99. Go ahead and check that out. Don't forget to also go to the fan pick section of the Heroes Corner site to find out all the rest of the picks. And I'll run through a couple of them right now. Asylum Press's Asylum of Horrors number 2. Vampirella the Second Coming, number 1. President Evil, 100 Days Later. We've got Don Bluth's Space Ace, number 3. Red Tornado, number 1. Magic Carpet. X-Men Forever's in the mix here. X-Factor's in the mix. We got Brave and the Bold, Volume 1 DVD. Green Lantern, Tiny Titans. Bunch of fan picks from people that just, you know, happen to get stuff from Heroes Corner and want to have their picks out there. So you can actually be one of those people. You don't have to be a part of a podcast. You can just be a random dude and just be like, hey, can I have some picks? And Bob and Sam will be like, sure, why not? Because they're awesome like that, what can I say? Use the code CTROCKS, that's CTROCKS, to get an additional 5% off on your first order with Heroes Corner. CTROCKS, CTROCKS, an additional 5% off on your first order with Heroes Corner. Only your first order, but hey, it's worth it this month because that 5% is going to go a long way with an additional 2% off on every single comic that you buy. Best damn customer service around. And once again, congratulations to HeroesCorner.com.
First off, I'll go with the guy who actually has plugs to make, considering that Brandon stopped doing podcasts ages ago. Daryl, you're on like 7 podcasts. Let people know what they are.
Okay, well, the first main podcast is the Fixer's Hideout. We do it weekly. And the other podcast that I do with my partner Lori and Gabe is called Comic Book Roadshow. And I should be starting a new podcast. I'm going to do a solo podcast. Probably late July.
It's going to be called Fuck It.
I'm still working on it.
It's going to be called Fuck It.
I, you know what? That's one of the ideas for the name. But I'm working on it to see what I'm going to do.
Excellent, excellent, excellent. And obviously, they can hear you on almost every other episode of 11 O'Clock Comics.
That too.
Oh, boy. Brandon, you got anything in the plug? I doubt you do, but just check.
Just a blog, that's all. Geeksitter.blogspot.com, that's all.
All right, cool. And, you know, I do stuff. All right, let's wrap this thing up. The email address for Comic Timing is comictiming@gmail.com. Don't forget to check out the forums over at comicforums.com. Graciously hosted by Comic Geek Speak, guys, over at comicgeekspeak.com. We're proud members of the Comics Podcast Network over at comicspodcast.com and members of the League of Comic Book Podcasts over at comicbooknoise.com/league. Please vote for us on Podcast Alley, and please send us your iTunes reviews on iTunes, which are more appreciated than anything else that I just said. So, for Daryl and for Brandon, I mean, let's see, mighty everybody out there. There's always time for comics, and make sure to check out Comic Tube. Hi, Leroy. There's always time for comics.
I know this isn't kind of important, but I still think it sucks. My birds had babies and they killed them.
Oh, dude.
Whoa.
Wow. Yeah, that, I don't know kind why. I come home and I'm have. Like, I don't know. I told my mom that he was a psycho. Him and, honestly, you know, more importantly, my cat, he's been a little sick, so hopefully the little guy pulls through.
Sal was next to the wizard booth. And hold on one second, guys. I'm sorry.
We interrupt this conversation for an important news bulletin. Everyone's dead.
We all died.
Dude, that's not funny. Imagine if that's real. That would suck with all the luck that's been going on.
Like a Twilight Zone episode.
No, it's okay. He just found out that all of Philadelphia has been turned into zombies.
I've been reading Walking Dead, and holy crap, am I addicted.
I could never get into it.
I picked up the first trade and put it down. And I bought, like, the other three, and I'm almost done, and now I'm about to borrow the single issues. I'm actually caught up with 64 issues in 2 weeks.
Wow.
I have to take breaks on it because it's so emotional.
I,
you know, things happen to the characters so terrible that I have to take a break.
Nah. I just go, what the fuck? Okay, I gotta keep reading. Oh, why would you do that? Oh, this is awesome.
And interlude, Brandon, please continue.
Sorry about that. Yeah, it was weird. My niece is over here, so.
Oh.
Yeah. But anyway,
He was at New York Comic Con.
Yeah, he was there.
Sorry, I'm a mic.
Oh, this is fun. This is good fun. I mean.
Yeah.
Wait. You have selected Cineplex Odeon Kingsway Theater.
Okay, what was that?
I heard someone. Oh wait, Daryl, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay, just making sure. No, because I heard you press the button, so I want to make sure you weren't trying to pick a move.
No, I didn't press the button. Wasn't me.
Yeah,
me either. Yeah.
Someone.
You're on the phone.
Yeah. Someone pressed the phone button.
Wasn't me.
All right. Well, it wasn't me. I'm just sitting here. Maybe there's someone else on the call.
Everybody there.
If there's someone else on the call, hi.
Hi.
Not Jack.
Hello, this is Christopher Walken. You know what? I got a fever. A fever for more cowbell.
Oh.
Scooch closer, children. Scooching. Hurry up with the scooching. All right.
I die.
Oh, no. Well, yeah, that's why I'm wrapping it up, because I don't want you to start losing your voice entirely here.
Yeah, but talking in a monotone, all of your listeners are sleeping.
No, they're not. You've been saying interesting things, all right? Whether you know it or not, you've been saying interesting things.
Sleep.
Oh, sorry.
Wow, who that was...
I was closer to Golzarian.
Oh, dear. Yeah, well, Brandon's going out entertaining his niece at the moment, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, I'm back.
Okay. Oh, you're back? Okay, all right. Wait, what?
Don't have a kid, ever.
Okay.
I have a cat.
Close enough.
Yeah. Okay.
Hello?
This just in. Iran election has been knocked off trending Twitter topics, I assume in favor of Michael Jackson.
Yeah, I'm not surprised.
Yeah. Rest in peace, Michael Jackson, Michael Jackson, Michael Jackson. And Farrah Fawcett.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
there's going to be a lot of that all weekend.
Mm-hmm. Oh, dear. Yeah, yeah.
The funeral is going to be at least 24 hours straight.
Hell yeah.
Probably.
I would not be surprised.